प्रभुपाद ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मं ग्राह्य गृहीतांगं मामुद्धर भवार्णवाल श्रीमल्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वभाव प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्वयादिदरदस् चार्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्महृद य आदिकवये मुह्यन्दियल् सूरयाम् तेजो वारिमृदम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषाधाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तगुहकम् सत्यम् परम् धीमहि धर्म प्रोज्जित कैदवोत्र परमो निर्मल्सराणाम् सदाम् वेद्यम् वास्तवमत्र वस्तुशिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमल्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परै ईश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तल्क्षणाल् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलम् शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतम् पिबत भागवतं रसमालयम् मुहुरहोरसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुपेतम् अपेतकृत्यम् द्वैपायनो विरहकातरमजुहाव पुत्रेदि तन्मयदय तरवोऽभिनेदु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिम् आनतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अतिथितीर्षदां तमोऽन्धम् संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनम् उपयामि गुरुं मुनीनाम् नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेल् कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकोणिदातृतानेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भदा मुरारे मधुरीं न कनिकापि कापि कापि नमाओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणे श्रीमल्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वन्दे नन्दं व्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्णशा यासं हरिगतोद्गीतं पुनादिभुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमानवे नमः पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदगी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायम् अतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालयेशम् अनिशं हृदि भावयामि कोमलं कूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोऽयं कुमारका वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म भासदां पुरतो मम मोघं करोति वाचालं पङ्गं लङ्घयदे गिरिं യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശങ്കരാധികാരിയേ നമ. വിൽ കണ്ടിന്യൂ ടു ലുക്ക് അറ്റ് ദി ഡിഫറെന്റ് the description of the planetary systems in the Srimad Bhagavatam. As we discussed last Sunday, that the description of the planetary systems in the Srimad Bhagavatam will not coincide with the findings of the modern astronomical science. And naturally, because it doesn't tally with their findings, they will tend to reject the authority of the Bhagavatam. That is the way it is. And the science tries to find things through their instruments, what they have created, and also what is visible to their naked eye is only acceptable to them. Otherwise it is not possible for them to accept anything. Whatever that has been found out through their instruments is bona fide. Everything else is not bona fide. But people who are have an understanding in the Vedic system, they accept that the Shastra, which has been the creation or the total creation from Krishna, consists of not only the gross manifestation, it also has a subtle side of it. And that subtle side is more important than the gross side. Gross side is visible to us, but the subtle side of creation is unknown to us. Just like in our material body, every one of us have a material body, and in this material body it has a gross body as well as a subtle body. The subtle body is not known to us or seen by us, but we still accept that the subtle body exists. That you cannot deny. Even the modern scientists will accept that point. That in addition to our mind, in addition to our material body, we have a mind, we have the senses, we have the intelligence, and we have the soul. So all these subtle aspects of the body are existing in ourselves. Similarly, in Krishna's creation also, many of the grossly manifested form has a subtle aspect as well. And that is what we have to always remember, that if we have a subtle form as well as a gross form, why not the other creation in this material world could also not have the same thing? And it is on this basis that in the Srimad Bhagavatam you will find that the subtle side of various mountains, rivers, everything expressed there, and even the planet Earth itself. And therefore when you look at it, you will see that the planet of planet Earth, what is manifested in front of us, is only a part of the total planetary system or the total earthly planets, total creation, as it is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Subhadeva Goswami, while talking about it to Parikshit Maharaj, he has specifically mentioned there that the that this earthly planet, what Parikshit Maharaj wanted to know, what this whole creation is all about, what does it contain? Because the reason for asking for that was that from the subtle form, from the gross form, one can understand the subtle form. So unless one understands the gross form properly, sushmadhiya arubam, that sushmada or the subtlety of the creation is better understood when one understands the gross form. It is with that intention that he asked about the gross manifestation of the creation. And in that, and in answer to that, Sukadeva Goswami was replying there that this is how the creation is. So when he is discussing creation there, you will notice one thing, that he is always saying things which are only relevant to the spiritual side of life, not to the material side. In the material world, when we discuss about some places or about the different geographical locations in this world, generally when we will talk about all the things, what is there for sightseeing, that's what first we will mention there. If you look into the tourist map, or if you look into even to the big books that they publish and present it to the world, that you should go to such and such a place so you can see all these things, that's what they will say there. In addition to that, they'll also talk about all the businesses, shops and activities which are related to sense gratification. Everything will be listed very nicely. And then they will include some temples and churches also to say sightseeing. They will include that as well. Apart from that, that is the animalistic understanding of the creation. Animals understands like this. They'll see the building. Ah, what a wonderful building this is. And this is what they see in the temple and churches also. They don't see that behind that there was something higher principle involved. Why the church was built or why the temple was built, that was never discussed. All they are interested is in seeing the beauty and taking a few photographs and they walk away. So this is the modern analysis of the creation or what is visible to our eyes. But in Sukadeva Goswami's eyes, it is not like that. Not in one place in the Bhagavatam he mentioned anywhere about what is the sense gratification offered at different places. All he is saying to Parikshit Maharaj is that in my vision, this is what I am seeing. That Sukadeva Goswami, as you have seen in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that he was not only a realized soul, who already realized long ago, but prior to that, even after realization, he has transcended everything to such a degree that Vedavyasa Maharshi pays his obeisances, the father pays obeisances to the son. That is the situation with the son, Sukadeva Goswami. So in a personality like that, not only he has perfected in the impersonalistic realization of the absolute truth, he has also perfected as a pure devotee of Krishna. Taking the shelter of Srimad Radharani, he has accepted that Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna as the absolute truth. In addition to that, he also has mastered the Ashtanga Yoga system of Patanjali Maharshis. So there is no yoga system which is beyond his understanding. So he is such a master of all the yogic processes that when such a personality like Sukadeva Goswami presents the truth in front of us about the creation, one has no other alternative except to accept it as he has spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There is no need to question it. Then, can you show it to me, Mr. Sukadeva Goswami, where is this, what you are saying? There is no need for that. It is already there. All the great authorities of the Srimad Bhagavatam has accepted this. And it is on the strength of that, Sukadeva Goswami's presentation of the creation to Parikshit Maharaj comes in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So here we have to, because it is not one episode like the story of Bharata Yogeshwara or story of Prithu Maharaj or the story of Ajamila. It is so many chapters referring to the creation from different angles. It is expressed in the Bhagavatam. For example, it talks about, first thing it is talking about this earthly planet. What does it contain? It contains the Jambudvipam right in the middle. And outside the Jambudvipam there are other islands and different oceans surrounding that. So that is discussed in one chapter. In another chapter, it talks about this Jambudvipam itself, where we belong to originally. In what is this in Jambudvipam? What is there to? What is we have to understand in the Jambudvipam? What's happening here? So this is explained there. In the third chapter, how Ganges came to this earth, the arrival of the Ganges to this planet, and also who is behind supporting this whole universe in this creation. These things are expressed in different chapters. So what today we'll do is, I will read through each chapter and we will go through briefly through that, because it's not a single episode connecting all the chapters. I thought it will be better to do it that way. So today we'll read from these two chapters, that is chapter 18 in the fifth canto and chapter 19, and then we will talk about that. Shri Shuka Vacham Tatha Javadra Shravanama Dharma Sudastal Kulavadaya Purusha Bhadrasho Varshe Sakshal Bhagavado Vasudevasya Priyam Tanim Dharma Mayim Hayashirshabhidanam Paramena Samadhinam Sannidhapedam Abhigranandam Padavandi Bhadrashravasa Uchu Om Namo Bhagavade Dharma Alpa Vishodhanaya Nama Idi Aho Vijitram Bhagavad Vijeshtidam Gnannam Janoyam Himishanda Vashyadi Dhyayanna Sadyarhi Vigarma Sevidam Narkhritya Putram Pidaram Jiji Vishadi Vadandi Vishwam Kavayasmanashwaram Pashyandi Jadhyalpa Vido Vivaschida Tadha Abhimukhyandi Tavajamayaya Sovismidam Krityamajam Natosmidam Vishol Bhavastha Nirodha Karmade Agarturangi Agarturangi Girdamapyabhavrata Yuktam Najitram Dhoi Gairya Karane Sarvatmani Vedirikteja Vastudaha വേദാനി യുഗം വേദമസാ തിരസ്കൃതാൻ രസാതലാദ്യോനുതിരംഗ വിഗ്രഹ പ്രത്യാദ ദേവൈ കവയേഭിജായതേ തസ്മൈ നമസ്തേ വിദദേഹിതായ ഇതി ഹരിവർഷേ ചാപി ഭഗവാൻ നരഹരി രൂപേണാസ്തേ തദ്രൂപഗ്രഹണനിമിത്തം ഉത്തരാത്രാവി ഉത്തരത്രാഭിദാസേ തദ്ദൈതം രൂപം മഹാപുരുഷഗുണവാചനോ മഹാഭാഗവതോ ദൈത്യദാനവകുലതീർത്ഥീകരണശീലാചരിത പ്രഹ്ലാദോ വ്യവധാനന്യഭക്തി അനന്യഭക്തിയോഗേന സഹ തദ്വർഷപുരുഷൈ ഉപാസ്തേ ഇദം ചോദാഹരതി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ നരസിംഹായ നമസ്തേജസ്തേജസേ ആവിരാവിർഭവ വജ്രനഖ വജ്രദംഷ്ട്ര കർമാശയാൻ രന്ധയ രന്ധയ തമോഗ്രസ ഗ്രസ ഓം സ്വാഹ അഭയമഭയമാൽപ്പനി ഭൂയിഷ്ഠ ഓം ഷൗ സ്വസ്യസ്തു വിശ്വസ്യ കില പ്രസീദതാധ്യായന്തു ഭൂതാനി ശിവം മിഥോധിയാം മനശ്ചഭദ്രം ഭജതാ തദോക്ഷജേ ആവേശനാം നോമതിരപ്യഹൈതുകീം മാതാരതായാത്മജ വിത്തബന്ധുഷു സങ്കോയദസ്യാൽഭഗവൽപ്രിയേഷുന യ പ്രാണമൃത്യാ പരിദുഷ്ടമാത്മവാൻ സിദ്ധ്യത്യദൂരാന്ന തദേന്ദ്രിയ പ്രിയാഹ യൽ സങ്കലബ്ധം നിജ വീര്യവൈഭവം തീർത്ഥം ഹുസംസ്പൃശതാം ഹിമാനസം ഹരത്യജോന്ന ശ്രുതിർഗതോംഗജം കോവൈന സേവേദമുകുന്ദ വിക്രമം യസ്യാസ്തി ഭഗവത്യകിഞ്ചന യസ്യാസ്തിഭക്തിർഭഗവത്യകിഞ്ചന സർവൈഗുണൈസ്തത്ര സമാസദേ സുരാഹ ഹരാവഭക്തസ്യ കുതോ മഹൈഗുണ മനോരധീനാ സവിധാവതോ ബഹീ ഹരിർഹി സാക്ഷാൽ ഭഗവൻ ശരീരണം ആത്മാജഷാണാമിവതോയമീപ്സിതം ഹിട്വാ മഹാംസ്തം യതി സജ്ജതേ ഗൃഹേ തദാ മഹത്വം വയസാ ദമ്പതീനാം തസ്മാൽ രജോരാഗ വിഷാദമന്യം മാനസ്പൃഹാഭയദൈന്യാധിമൂലം ഹിത്വാ ഗൃഹം സംസ്കൃതി ചക്രവാളം നൃസിംഹപാദം ഭജതാ കുതോ ഭയമിതി കേതുമാലേവി ഭഗവാൻ കാമദേവത്സ്വരൂപേണ ലക്ഷ്മ്യാ പ്രിയചരീർഷയാ പ്രജാപതിർദുഹിതൃണാം പുത്രാണാം തദ്വർഷവതീനാം പുരുഷായുഷാഹോരാത്രം പരിസംഖ്യാനാനാം യാസാം ഗർഭ മഹാപുരുഷ മഹാസ്ത്രതേജസോദ്വേജിത മനസാം വിദ്വസ്താ വ്യസവ സംവത്സരാന്തേ വിനിപതന്തി അതീവ സുലളിതഗതി വിലാസ വിലാസ രുചിരഹാസലേശാവലോകലീലയ കിഞ്ചിതുത്തം വിധ സുന്ദര ഭ്രൂമണ്ഡല സുഭഗവത ഭഗവത വദനാരവിന്ദശ്രയാരമാം രമയൻ ഇന്ദ്രിയാര ഇന്ദ്രിയാണ് രമയതേ തൽഭഗവതോ മായാമയം രൂപം പരമസമാധിയോഗേന രമാദേവി സംവത്സരസ്യ രാത്രിഷു പ്രജാപതേ ദുഹിതൃഭി ദുഹിതൃഭിരുപഹേദാഹ സുജ തദ്ധർത്തൃഭിരവാസ്തേ ഇതം ചോദാഹരതി ഓം ഹാം ഹൈം ഹ്രൂം ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ ഹൃഷികേശായ സർവഗുണവിശേഷൈ വിലക്ഷിതാത്മനെ ആഗൂനീനാം ചിത്തീനാം ചേതസാം വിശേഷാണാം ചാധിപതയെ ഷോഡശകലായ ഛന്ദോമയായ അന്നമയായാം അമൃതമയായാം സർവമയായ സഹസേ ഓജസേ ബലായ കാന്തായ കാമായ നമസ്തേ ഉഭയത്ര ഭൂയാൽ സ്ത്രീയോ ഹൃദയ സ്വാം ശ്രീകേശരം സുതോ ആരാധ്യലോകേ പതിമാശസേന്യ താസാന്നദേവൈ പരിപാത്യപന്യം പ്രിയാംധനായോഷി യതോ സ്വതന്ത്രാഹ സ വൈ പതി സ്യാദ കുതോ ഭയസ്വയം സമന്തതപ്പാതിഭയാതുരം ജനം സ ഏക ഏവേദനതാമിധോ വയം നൈവാത്മലാഭാദതി മന്യതേ പരം യാ തസ്യതേ പാദസരോരുഹർഹണം നികാമയേൽസാഖില കാമലംബണ തദേവ രാസീപ്സിതമീപ്സിതോർച്ചിതോ യൽ ഭഗ്നയാജ്ഞാ ഭഗവാൻ പ്രദപ്യതേ മൽപ്രാപ്തയേജസ്സുരാസുരാദയാം സ്തപ്യന്തമുഗ്രം നവമൈന്ദ്രിയേ ധിയ ഹൃദയ ഭവൽപാദപരായണാം നമാം വിന്ദന്ത്യഹം തദ്ധൃതയാ ത്വദ്ധൃതയാ യദോചിതാം സത്വം മമാപ്യച്യ ശീർഷ്ണിവന്ദിതം കരാംബുജം യത്വദതായി സാത്വതാം ഭിവർഷിമാം ലക്ഷ്മവരേണ്യമായ ക ഈശ്വരസ്യ ഹിതമുഹിതം വിഭൂരിതീം രമ്യകേശ ഭഗവത പ്രിയതമം മാത്സ്യമവതാരൂപം തദ്വർഷപുരുഷസ്യ മനോപ്രാക് പ്രദർശിതം സ ഇദാനീമപി മഹതാ ഭക്തിയോഗേന ആരാധയതീതം ചോദാഹരതി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ മുഖ്യതമായ നമ സത്വായ പ്രാണ ഔജസേ സഹസേ ബലായ മഹാമത്സ്യായ നമൈതി അന്തർബഹിഷ്ടാഖില ലോകപാലകൈ അദൃഷ്ടരൂപോ വിജരസ്വരുസ്വന സ ഈശ്വരസ്ത്വം ഏതം ശയനയസ്മാം നായഥാ ദാരുമയീം നരസ്ത്രയം യം ലോകപാലാകേ മത്സരജ്വര ഹിത്വായ ദന്തോപി പൃഥക് സമേത്യജ പാദുന്ന ശേകുർദ്ധിപതശ്ചതുഷ്പദ സരീസ്രവം സ്ഥാണുമിയ ഇതത്ര ദൃശ്യതേ ഭവാൻ യുഗാന്താർണവോർമിമാലിനിം ക്ഷോണീമിമാമാഷതി വീരുഹാം നിധിം മയാ സഹോരു ക്രമനേജമോജസ തസ്മൈ ജഗല പ്രാണഗണാത്മനേ നമൈതി ഹിരൺമയി ഭഗവാൻ നിവസതി കൂർമദനം വിഭ്രാണസ്തൽ പ്രേതമാം തനുമര്യമാ അരിയാമാ സഹവർഷപുരുഷൈ പിതൃഗണാധിപതി ഉപതാവതി മന്ത്രമിമം ചാനുജപതി ചാനുജപതി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി അഗൂപാരായ സർവസത്വഗുണവിശേഷണായ ഉപരക്ഷിതസ്ഥാനായ നമോ ഓഷ്മണി നമോ ഭൂമി നമോ അവസ്ഥാനായ നമസ്തേ യദ്രൂപമേതം നിജമായ അർപ്പിതം അർത്ഥസ്വരൂപം മഹുരൂപരൂപിതം സംഖ്യാന യസ്യാസ്തേതോ വിലംബനം തസ്മൈ നമസ്തേ വ്യപദേശരൂപിണി ജരായുജം സ്വേദജമണ്ഡജോദ്ധിനം ചരാചരം ദേവർഷപിതൃഭൂതമൈന്ദ്രിയം ദ്യൗഘം ക്ഷിതി ശൈലസരിൽ സമുദ്രം ദീപഗ്രഹക്ഷേത്രവിദ അഭിധേയമേകാം യസ്മിന്ന സംഖ്യേ വിശേഷനാമം രൂപാകൃതോക വിപികൽപ്പിതേയം സംഖ്യായയാ തത്വവിശാപനീയതേ തസ്മൈ നമസാനി നിദർശനായതേ ഇതി ഉത്തരേഷു ജഗുരുഷു ഭഗവാൻ യജ്ഞപുരുഷ കൃതവരാഹരൂപമാസ്തേ തന്തുദേവി ഐഷാ ഭൂസഹ കുരുഭിര സ്ഖലിത ഭക്തിയോഗ യോഗേന ഉപദാവതി ഇമാം ച പരമാ ഉപനിഷത് ആവർത്തയതി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ മന്ത്രതത്വലിംഗായ മന്ത്രതത്വലിംഗായ യജ്ഞകതവേ മഹാധ്വരായ അവയവായ മഹാപുരുഷായ നമ കർമ്മശുക്ലായ ത്രിയുഗായ നമസ്തേ യസ്യ സ്വരൂപം കവയോ വിവശ്ചിതോ ഗുണേഷു ദാരുഷുവജാത വേദസം മധ്രന്തി മധ്രാ മനസാ ദിദൃക്ഷവോ ഗൂഢം ക്രിയാർത്ഥേ നമ ഈരിദാത്മനി ദ്രവ്യക്രിയാ ഹേത്വൈനേഷ കർത്തൃവി മായാ ഗുണേർവസ്തു നിരീക്ഷിതാത്മനി അന്വീക്ഷയാംഗതിശയ അനീക്ഷയാംഗാതിശയാത്മബുദ്ധിവി നിരസ്തമായ കൃതയേ നമോ നമാം കരോതി വിശ്വസ്തി സംയമോദയം യസ്യ എപ്സിതം നേപ്സിതമീക്ഷിതുർഗുണൈ മായാ യഥായോ ഭ്രമതേ തദാശയം ഗ്രാമോ നമസ്തേ ഗുണകർമ്മസാക്ഷിണീ പ്രമഥ്യ ദൈത്യം പ്രതിവാരണം മൃതി യോമാം രസായ ജഗദാദിസൂകരം കൃത്വാകൃതം ശ്രേ നിരകാദുതന്വദ ക്രീഡന്നിവേഹ പ്രണദാസ്മിതം വിഭുമിതി ഇരശ്രീമൽഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പഞ്ചമസ്കന്ദേ ഗുണഘോഷവർണ്ണനം നാമ അഷ്ടാദശോധ്യായ ശ്രീശുകവാചാം കിം പുരുഷവർഷേ ഭഗവന്തമാദിപുരുഷം ലക്ഷ്മണാഗ്രജം സീതാവിരാമം രാമം തച്ചരണ സന്നികർഷാഭിരത പരമഭാഗവതോ ഹനുമാൻ സഹ കിം പുരുഷേ അവിരത ഭക്തിരുപാസ്തേ ആർഷിഷേണീന സഹ ഗന്ധർവൈ അനുഗീയമാനാം പരമകല്യാണീ ഭർതൃഭഗവത്കഥാം സമുപശൃണോതി സ്വയം ചേതം ഗായതി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ ഉത്തമ ശ്ലോകായ നമ ആര്യലക്ഷണശീലവ്രതായ നമ ഉപശിഷ്യാത്മന ഉപാസിത ലോകായ നമ സാധുവാ നികഷണായ നമോ ബ്രഹ്മണ്യദേവായ മഹാപുരുഷായ മഹാരാജായ നമൈതി യത്യദ്വിശുദ്ധാനുഭവമാത്രമേകം സ്വദേജസാധ്വസ്തഗുണവ്യവസ്ഥം പ്രത്യക്പ്രശാന്തം സുതിയോഭലംഭനം ഹനാമരൂപം നിരഹം പ്രപദ്യേം മർത്യാവതാരസ്തിഹമർത്യശിക്ഷണം രക്ഷോവധായ ഏവന കേവലം വിഭോ കുതോന്യദാസ്യാദ്രമതസ്സമാത്മന സീതാകൃതാനിം വ്യസനാൻ ഈശ്വരസ്യാം നവേ സമാത്മാത്മവതാം സുഹൃത്തമാ സക്തസ്ത്രീലോക്യാം ഭഗവാൻ വാസുദേവ ന സ്ത്രീകൃതം കഷ്മലമശ്നിമീതം ന ലക്ഷ്മണം ചാഭിവിഹാദമർഹതീം ന ജന്മനൂനം മഹതോ ന സൗഭഗം ന വാങ് മുദ്ദിർന്നാകൃതിസ്തോഷ ഹേതു തൈർയദ്സൃഷ്ടാനവിനോ വനൗകസാശ്ചകാര സഖ്യേപദലക്ഷ്മണാഗ്രജം സുരോസുരോ വാപ്യനവാനരോ നര സർവാത്മനായ സുകൃതജ്ഞമുത്തമം ഭജതേ ഭജേത രാമം അനുജാകൃതിം ഹരിം യ ഉത്തരാനനയൽ കോസലാന്തിമമിനി ബാലദേവി വർഷേ ഭഗവൻ നരനാരായണാഖ്യമാകൽപാന്തം ഉപജിതി ധർമ്മജ്ഞാന വൈരാഗ്യ ഐശ്വര്യ ഉപശമോപ ആത്മോപലംബനം അനുഗ്രഹായാത്മവദാനമനുഗമയാ തപോ വ്യക്തഗതിശ്ചരതി തം ഭഗവന് നാരദോ വർണ്ണാശ്രമദേവിർഭാരതീവി പ്രജാവിർഭഗവത് പ്രോക്താഭ്യാം സാഖ്യയോഗാഭ്യാം ഭഗവതനുഭാവോപവർണനം സാവർണേ ഉപദേക്ഷ്യമാണ പരമഭക്തിഭാവേന ഓ ഉപസരതി ഇതം ചാവിഗ്നാദി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ ഉപശമശീലായോ അപരദാനാത്മ്യായ നമോ കിംചനവിത്തായ ഹൃഷികൃഷഭായ നരനാരായണായ പരമഹംസ പരമഗുരവേ ആത്മാരാമാധിപതയേ നമോ നമൈതി ഗായതി ചേതം കർത്താസ്യ സർഗാതിശയോ ന ബദ്ധ്യതേ നഹന്യതേ ദേഹഗതോ വിദേഹികൈ ദ്രഷ്ടുർന്ന ദൃഗ്യസ്തു ഗുണേർ വിദൂഷ്യതേ തസ്മൈ നമോ സത്വയുക്ത സാക്ഷിണേ ഇതം ഹി യോഗേശ്വരയോഗനൈപുണം ഹിരണ്യഗർഭോ ഭഗവാൻ ജഗാദയൽ യദന്തകാലേ ത്വയി നിർഗുണീമയോ ഭക്തീജോജിത ദുഷ്കലേപരാം യദൈഹികാ മുഷ്ക്യ കാമലംബന സുതേഷു ദാരേഷു ധനേഷു ചിന്തയൻ ശങ്കേത വിദ്വാൻ കകളേപരാതയാസ്തയത്നശ്രമയേവ കേവലം തന്ന പ്രഭോത്വം കകളേപരാർപ്പിതം തൊന്മായയഹം മമതാമതോക്ഷജ വിന്യാമയേണാശ്വയം സൂഭ്യതാം വിദേഹി യോഗം ധ്വൈന സ്വഭാവമിതി ഭാരതേപ്യസ്മിൻ വർഷേ സരിച്ഛൈലാം സന്ധിബഹോ മലയോ മംഗളപ്രസ്തോമൈനാഗ സ്ത്രീകൂട കൃഷഭ കൂടകം കോയൽനക സഹ്യോ ദേവഗിരി ഹൃഷ്യമോഗ ശ്രീശൈലോ വെങ്കടോ മഹേന്ദ്രോ വാരിധാരോ വിന്ധ്യ ശുക്തിമാമക്ഷഗിരി പാരിയാത്രോദ്രോണ ചിത്രകൂടോ ഗോവർദ്ധനോ രൈവതക കുഹുഭോ നീലോ ഗോകാമുഖ ഇന്ദ്രനീല കാമഗിരി ചാനീയ ശതസഹസ്രശൈലാസ്തേഷാം നിതംബ പ്രഭവാനദാ നിദ്ധ സന്ധ്യ സംഖ്യാത ഭേദാസമഭൂഭരഭാരധ്യം പ്രജാനാമഭിരേവപനം ദീനാം ആത്മനാം ചോപസ്പൃശന്തി ചന്ദ്രവശാ താമ്രവർണി അവടോദ കൃതമാല വൈഹായസി കാവേരി വേണി പയസ്വിനി ശർക്കരാവർത്ത തുംഗഭദ്ര കൃഷ്ണ വേണ്യ ഭീമരതി ഗോദാവരി നിർവിന്ധ്യ പയോഷ്ണി താപി രേവാസുരസാ നർമ്മദ ചർമ്മൻവേദി സിന്ധുരന്ധശോണശ്ച നദോ മഹാനദി വേദസ്മൃതി ഋഷികുല്യ ത്രിസാമ കൌശികി മന്ദാകിനി യമുന സരസ്വതി ഋഷദ്വതി ഗോമതി സരയു രോദസ്വതി സപ്തവതി സുഷോമ ശതദ്രൂശ്ചന്ദ്രഭാഗ മരുദ്ധ്രുതാവിദസ്താം അസിഗ്നി വിശ്വേദി മഹാനദ്യഃ അസ്മിന്നേവ വർഷേ പുരുഷേർലബ്ധജന്മമി ശുക്ലലോഹിത കൃഷ്ണവർണേന സ്വാരബ്ധേന കർമ്മണ ദിവ്യമാനുഷ നാരകഗതയോ ബഹ്യമാത്മന ആനുപൂർവേണ സർവാഹ്യേവ സർവേഷാം വിധീയന്തേ യഥാ വർണ്ണവിധാനം അപവർഗശ്ചാപി ഭവതി യോസോ ഭഗവതി സർവഭൂതാത്മന്യനാത്മീയ അനിരുക്തി അനിലയനെ പരമാത്മനിവാസുദേവ അനന്യ നിമിത്ത ഭക്തിയോഗ ലക്ഷണോ നാനാഗതി നിമിത്ത വിദ്യാ ഗ്രന്ഥിരന്ധം ഗ്രന്ഥിരന്ധനദ്വാരേണ യഥാ ഹി മഹാപുരുഷ പുരുഷ പ്രസംഗ ഏകദേവ ഹി ദേവാഗായന്തി അഹോ അമീഷാം കിമകാരി ശോഭനം പ്രസന്നമേഷാം സിന്ധു സ്വയം ഹരിം ഏർ ജന്മലബ്ധം നൃഷുഭാര്യതാ ചിരേ മുകുന്ദ സേവോ വൈകം സ്പൃഹാഹിനാം കിം ദുഷ്കരേ നക്കളവിസ്തവോ വൃതേർ ധനാദിമിർവാജയേന ഫൽഗുന നയത്ര നാരായണ പാദ ഭംഗജം സ്മൃതി പ്രമുഷ്ടാദിശദേ പ്രമുഷ്ടാദിശേന്ദ്രിയോത്സവാൽ കൽപ്പായുഷാം സ്ഥാനജയൽ പുനർഭവാൽ ക്ഷണായുഷാം ഭാരതഭുജയോവരം ക്ഷണേന മർത്തേന കൃതം മനസ്വിന സന്യസ്യ സംയാന്തിവയം പദം ഹരേ നയത്ര വൈകുണ്ഠകഥാ സുധാഭക ന സാധവോ ഭഗവദാസ്തദാശ്രയം നയത്ര യജ്ഞേശ മഹാമഹോത്സവാം സുരേശ ലോകോപി നവേ സസേവ്യതാം പ്രാപ്ത നൃജാതിം വിഹയേ ജന്ധമോ ജ്ഞാനക്രിയാദ്രവ്യകുലാവ സമ്പ്രദം നവയ്യതേരന്ന പുനർഭവായതേ ഭൂയോവനൗഗാമിവയാന്തിബന്ധനം യൈ ശ്രദ്ധയാ ബർഹിഷി വാഗശോഹവിർ നിരുപ്തമിഷ്ടം വിധി മന്ത്രവസ്തുത ഏതക് പ്രതങ്ങാഭിരാഹുതോ മുദാ കൃഷ്ണാദിപൂർണ സ്വയമാശിഷാം പ്രഭു സത്യം ദിശത്യർത്ഥമർത്ഥിതോ നണം നൈവാർത്ഥതോ യൽ പുനരത്ഥിതായത സ്വയം വിദത്തെ ഭജതാമിച്ഛതാമിച്ഛാഭിദാനം നിജപാദമല്ലവം യദ്യത്ര സ്വർഗസുഖാവശേഷിതം സിഷ്ടസ്യ സൂക്തസ്യ കൃതസ്യ ശോഭനം തേനാചനാഭേ സ്മൃതിമജ്ജന്മനസ്യാൽ വർഷേഹര യദ്ഭജതാം ശനോദി ശ്രീശോവാച ജംബുദ്വീപസജരാജനുപദീ ഉപദ്വീപാനഷ്ടോ ഹേക ഉപദിശന്തി സകരാത്മജൈരശ്വ അശ്വാന്വേഷണയിമാം മഹീം പരിതോ നിഗനദ്വിരുപകൽപ്പിതാൻ തദ്യതാ സ്വർണപ്രസ്ഥശ്ചന്ദ്രശുക്ലമാവർത്തനോ രമണകോ മന്ദ്രഹരിണ പാഞ്ചജന്യ സിംഹളോ ലങ്കേനി ഏവം തവ ഭാരതോത്മജംബുദ്വീപ വർഷവിഭാഗോ യഥോ ഉപദേശം ഉപവർണിതമിതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണി പഞ്ചമസ്കന്ദേ ജംബുദ്വീപ വർണ്ണനം നാമ ഏകോനവിംശോധ്യായം. സോ these last two or three chapters is talking about the Jambudvipam. Jambudvipam means that is this planet Earth in its complete form, that is known as Jambudvipam. What is visible to us is only a part of Jambudvipam. In the construction or the way Jambudvipam is created, the earth is considered to be like a lotus flower. And this lotus flower, right in the middle of that, is what is known as the Jambudvipam. So this Jambudvipam is actually divided by the it's actually been divided by Agnidra. And Agnidra divided and handed over the seven different parts of Jambudvipam to his seven children. So those nine children got the nine different divisions of the Jambudvipam. So in the Jambudvipam, the middle of Jambudvipam is what is known as Ilavrata Varsham. Ilavrata Varsham is where Lord Shiva worships Lord Sangarshana or Lord Balaram there. He is meditating on Lord Balaram in the Ilavrata Varsham. And he is glorifying Lord Balaram along with Sri Parvati Devi and all the other associates there. And in that planet, Ilavrata Varsham, Lord Shiva glorifies Sankarshanamurti in the associates of Sri Parvati Devi, his eternal consort, and every other member in that part of the Ilavrata Varsham is a female. There is no male members apart from Lord Shiva there. So he glorifies Lord Sankarshana there in the association of all the other devotees who are present there. That is the middle of the Jambudvipam. And on the north of this Jambudvipam, there are three different sections known as Ramyagam, Hiranmayam and Kuru. And what happens in these three sections, that is also mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Ramyagam is the Malsyamurti, or the fish incarnation of Krishna, is present there, is worshipped there. And who is Krishna is worshipped? In what we hear in the Srimad Bhagavatam is, in each of these sectors, which aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped, who is the worshipper, and what is the mantra they chant during the worshipping process. This is how it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. So in the Ramyagam, or the Ramyaga Varsha, as it is referred to, like we have Lavra Varsham in the middle, on the north of this Ramyagam, Hiranmayam and Kuru. So in the Ramyaga Varsham, what is happening is the Malsimurti, or Krishna's fish incarnation, is worshipped there by the same devotee, Satyavrata Muni, to whom this incarnation appeared in this planet. So Satyavrata Muni chants glorifying the Malsimurti, or the fish incarnation, in the Ramyagam, Ramyaga Varsham. In the Hiranmaya Varsham is the Kurma Murti, or the tortoise incarnation, is worshipped. And who is worshipping the tortoise incarnation? It is worshipped by Aryama. Aryama is the head of the Pitraloka. In the Pitraloka, among the inhabitants of Pitraloka, the head of them is Aryama. Aryama worships Krishna in this tortoise form in the Hiranmaya Varsham. And the mantra what he chants is also that what we have read out before. And then you go into the next one on the north side, Ramyagam, Hiranmayam and Kuru. In the Kuru Varsham, it is the incarnation of Krishna as the boar, Varaha incarnation, is worshipped there. Lord Boar or Lord Varaha is appeared in the, is being worshipped there by the devotee. Who is the devotee who has been protected by Varaha, who is nobody else? In the third canto we read the story of Mother Earth. Mother Earth was protected by Varaha Murti or Lord Varaha. So therefore Lord Varaha is worshipped by Mother Earth personally in that planet, in that part of the part of Jambudvipam. So Ramyagam, Hiranmayam and Kuru, Malsyam, Kurmam and Varaham, these three forms are worshipped, and the devotees who are worshipping them are the personalities to whom they have appeared. So we have, that is on the north side. And on the south side of Ilavrata Varsham, in this creation, we have three sections again. That is what is known as the Harivarsham, Kimpurusha Varsham and Bharata Varsham. These are the three sectors on the southern side. Now out of these three, Harivarsham, Kimpurusha Varsham and Bharata Varsham. Harivarsham is the place where Lord Narasimhadev is worshipped by Prahlada. And that is the mantra what we were reading here, what mantra Prahlada Maharaj chants while worshipping the Narasimhadev in the Harivarsham, in that sector. And then in the other area, what is known as Kimpurusha Varsham, Lord Ramachandra is worshipped by Anjaneya Swami for Hanuman. He worships there, he sings the glories of Lord Ramachandra, along with the so many other devotees who are present there. And the only way they enjoy is all the time 24 hours kirtan going on there, glorifying Lord Ramachandra. And the leader of the kirtan group there is Anjaneya Swami or Hanuman. Hanuman leads the kirtan there 24 hours, glorifying Lord Ramachandra. And that is the nectar, that the the nectar what he enjoys there is simply chanting the holy name of Lord Ramachandra. That what happens in the Kimpurusha Varsham. But you will notice here in the Srimad Bhagavatam that while referring to this Kimpurusha Varsham, that's one or two things more mentioned there. That is the Sri Sudeva Goswami evaluates Lord Ramachandra there. And that is put in a very, very nice way. So Sudeva Goswami often comments about all the appearances of Krishna in different forms. And about Krishna himself, he evaluates at one point what is Krishna's appearance was, what has it done good to this world. So similarly, while referring to Lord Ramachandra, Sudeva Goswami says here that that this particular appearance has taught an important lesson in this world. That even if it is the Supreme Lord himself, if he only comes to this world, if by his activities the human society has been very much benefited. What was that benefit? It is not that Lord Ramchandra was afflicted by that situation. But if this attachment between the male and the female in the human body, if it goes beyond a limit, that attachment can become a cause of distress. And that is a lesson what Lord Ramchandra taught us through this experience with his time in this in this world, that while Sita Devi was Sita Devi was requested by Ramachandra not to come to the forest in the beginning. But she insisted, no, it is my duty to be with the husband all the time. And she went along with Ramachandra. The result was that Ramachandra could not finish his 14 years in the forest and to come back. But on the other hand, after that, he had to go looking for Sita Devi, who was stolen by Ravana. And so many other distress he had to experience, although Lord Ramachandra doesn't experience any distress. But this is what happens in this material world, that when one is subjected to, when one is attached too much to the opposite side, automatically one has to have the accept the tribulations also which comes along with it. So just to teach the human society, this particular pastime has happened, and that is how Sudeva Goswami sees the whole of Ramayana story. That is his evaluation of that. And he repeats that again in the ninth canto later on, when you will see, when you come to the story of Lord Ramachandra, he will mention this again. This is basically to give us the understanding that the relationship between the man and the woman, as it is understood in the modern world, is not the proper way Vedic philosophy presents to us. Vedic philosophy says that somehow or the other, in the shackles of, in this relationship between man and woman, it should not drive us to the point to forget our own spiritual identity and our own spiritual responsibility. That is what he's trying to tell us. If he forgets our spiritual, in the Vedic system, this was very strictly followed. It was not something which was, in the modern life, everybody considers that once marriage happens, the husband and wife, they are in bliss for the whole life. Either they are in bliss or they are fighting all the time. So it is either way, but there is no balanced understanding that what is that relationship should be between the man and woman. And that relationship is explained here through the story of Lord Ramachandra, that there is a limit up to which this relationship should be built up. Beyond that, that very relationship will destroy both sides, both the man as well as the woman. So in order to show that, Sudeva Goswami says here, after all, Sudeva Goswami is the authority of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And his words and comments are taken very, very seriously. And you will notice also, it is these comments that are the guidelines in the Vedic tradition of the man-woman relationship. It is not the modern understanding that everything, we love each other and we make all big fuss about it, and at the end we fight and go. And that is the modern concept of love and hate business. But in the Vedic system, it is such that one accepts a relationship on the understanding that at some point in time, this relationship also has to be given up. And one should be prepared for that. Otherwise, simply if one gets attached in the way, as it is mentioned in the as it is in the normal practice in the material world, it says here, Shishugan says, warns the people that martyavaharam, that only to do shiksha, only to instruct the human society, this pastime Lord Ramachandra has enacted in this world. That is how he presents it. And there is also one more small thing he mentions there, that this Ramachandra's lifetime in this world, he did something else which is also very unusual. What was that? That at one point in time, Lakshmana, his brother, who served him so intensely and who was so loyal to him as a brother, after all, Lakshmana is Balaram himself, Ramachandra is Krishna. And that relationship was in Tridayagam. And in that relationship, at one point in time, Lord Ramachandra even gave up Lakshmana. He had to do that. He was forced to do that. A situation happened like that. And from this one can understand that the individual living entity has no other connections really in this material world. All other connections, what comes in this world, is only through karma that brings us all these relationships. And karma will separate us also from those relationships one day. By arrangement of nature, the material nature and the laws of karma together interacts and separates us from all these relationships what we have built up in this world. So to explain that story, basically in the Ramayana it is mentioned it like this, that when Lord Ramachandra finished his pastimes in this world, at one point Varuna came here to let Ramachandra know that it is time now to return back to the spiritual world. Exactly like in Krishna's case. In Krishna's case, Lord Brahma came. And in Ramachandra's case, it was Varuna who came. So Varuna took the form of a Brahmana. And when he came there, at the doorstep, Lakshmana was standing there. And Lakshmana was told very clearly that I'm going to want to see Lord Ramachandra and discuss with him something very important. And you know, he should be allowed inside at this point in time to come and talk to him about it. So on that understanding, that on that understanding, Varuna gone in to see Lord Ramachandra, and to let him know in a very respectful way, he mentioned to Ramachandra that the time has now come to come back to the spiritual world. That is how after that you will see in the Ramayana that Ramachandra invited all the devotees to come with him. They all went together to the Sarayu River, and Ramachandra told him to immerse in the Sarayu River along with him. And when they got up, they were all back in the spiritual world. This is the great mercy of Ramachandra. Nobody, no other incarnation has done this, the way Ramachandra has taken so many people at the same time back to the spiritual world. So, there is one interesting thing happened. When Varuna was inside with Lord Ramachandra, at that point in time, Duvasa Muni walked in. Duvasa Muni came there and told Lakshmana that I want to see Ramachandra straight away. That he started forcibly pushing inside his way through. Lakshmana told him that somehow or the other he apologized to him and told him that he should wait for some time till Varuna finishes, and Duvasa Muni wouldn't listen. He forced his way through, and for that, for letting Duvasa Muni in, Ramachandra had to punish Lakshmana for that. And what was the punishment? Punishment was that either Lakshmana should be killed, or the next thing was, what he could do was, killing is also considered to be, one is expelled from the kingdom. So instead of killing directly, he was expelled from the kingdom. This all happened in the very last few days of Ramachandra's departure from this planet. So because of this issue, when Duvasa Muni came and he forced his way through, that Duvasa Muni warned Lakshmana that if I am not let in immediately, I will curse the whole place and make the whole burn into ashes. This was the mood in which Duvasa Muni walked in. Please do not misunderstand Duvasa Muni. Duvasa Muni, Krishna calls him as my own spiritual master. That is Duvasa Muni's relationship with Krishna. We may think so many of these pastimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam mentioned, as those pastimes we may think, oh, Duvasa Muni is of course he is an incarnation of Lord Shiva. But at the same time, some of these pastimes were acted together with the permission of Krishna and Duvasa Muni together. Similarly, Ramachandra and Duvasa Muni together, all done with different intentions, that there were all lessons to learn, that Ramachandra's strict adherence to dharma, or in other words, in religious principles, he was considered to be always on the top side. Nobody could question about the principles and religious principles Lord Ramachandra. That at one instance, because a washerman spoke something to his wife, and while talking to him, he mentioned this washerman's wife. It so happened that she happened to leave him and go and stay with her father for a few months. When she came back, she was not welcomed by the washerman. He started accusing her for his lack of obedience and started questioning her. And that very evening, when Lord Ramachandra was walking around in the disguise, he heard from one house this argument coming up, where this washerman was shouting at his wife and saying to her that I'm not like Lord Ramachandra, who will accept a wife who had come back, who has gone and stayed with some other man and who has come back, and I will not accept him. I will not accept her like the way he did. When Ramachandra heard this, he could understand that there are still people who doubted about his truthfulness and about his morals. So because of that, very next day, Sita Devi was sent to the forest. He gave her up. And he was sent to her forest, and Sita Devi took the shelter of Valmiki Muni. And in the protection of Valmiki Muni, Sita Devi had these two babies, Lava and Kusha, were born. And Lava and Kusha were brought up by Valmiki Muni, actually, and by Sita Devi together. And such a thing, and when that happened, Sita Devi, who spent all her life in serving Lord Ramachandra with the highest loyalty and highest sincerity and chastity, and that Sita Devi also was given up at that point by Ramachandra. So Ramachandra has done this to Sita Devi, and Ramachandra has done this to Lakshmana also, his own brother. From this, one has to understand, Sri Shukan says there, if one gives too much importance to even moral principles at some point in time, one adheres to the morality of this world too much, sometimes one may have to suffer to that degree also. This is what Ramchandra's story is teaching us. And as Krishna is concerned, there was no such problem. In all circumstances, Krishna has an excuse to do what he wanted to do. And he has done it, and he will have a justification also for what he has done. So, but in Ramchandra's case, it was just a different story altogether. So, this particular aspect of, in the middle of reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, you have to remember that this 5th canto is the time almost on the 3rd day of the 7 days when he spoke to Parikshit Maharaj. It is on the 3rd day the 5th canto is coming. So in other words, he was more or less aware that the time is running out and he had a lot more to say, particularly about Krishna's pastimes. This was all in his mind, and Sugriva Goswami doesn't have much time to explain many things. That is why sometimes Srimad Bhagavatam is a little bit difficult to follow when one reads it, because it was done in a rush, everything. Everything was done in such a hurry that, knowing very well, in this short period of 7 days, it was not possible to explain everything what Sugriva Goswami wanted to say. So things were coming one after the other in his mind, just like a waves, it says in the Bhagavatam, that the things what he wanted to talk about, Krishna and the incarnations, were coming like waves one after the other. And Solam Krishishta Bhagavan Vajam Simim, that Krishna has been decorating his tongue in such a way that one after the other things were coming. And in the middle of that, to include one or two things like that must have been very, very difficult. But in spite of that, Sudeva Goswami mentioned, this took time to point out this one or two things from the observation of this great sage, how he saw Lord Ramchandra's life in this world. And that is very much relevant here. So, in addition to that, what you will notice in this is that you have got, as I explained, Ramegam, Hiranmaya Varsham and Kuru Varsham on the north. And on the south side, we are talking about Hari Varsham, Kimpurusha Varsham. That is where Ajaya Swami is worshipping, or Hanuman is worshipping Ramchandra. And then comes the Bharata Varsham. Bharata Varsham is the present India. So, not entirety, this has all been cut into pieces now, but the original Bharata Varsham, what is referred to in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is that Bharata Varsham where the worship is again mentioned there. Who is worshipped there? Nararishi and Narayana Rishi. Naranarayana form is worshipped there. And who is the worshipper? Worshipper is Sri Narada Muni. So this is the, because we have to take this part of the explanation in the Bhagavatam very seriously. There is a reason behind it. That out of the 9 sections mentioned in this description of the Jambudvipam, we have got Ramyaga Varsham, Hiranmaya Varsham and Kuru Varsham in the north, Hari Varsham, Kimpurusha Varsham and Bharata Varsham in the south. And on either side, on right hand side, you have got the Bhadrasha Varsham, and on the left hand side you have got Ketumala Varsham. That is how the 9 sectors are formed. So on the after the north side and the south side, on the left hand side you have Ketumala Varsham. On Ketumala Varsham, Pradyumna, out of the 4 forms of the quadruple expansions of Krishna, Vasudeva, Sangarshana, Pradyumna and Aniruddha, Pradyumna is worshipped there by Lakshmi Devi. Lakshmi Devi worships Pradyumna there in that form. And on the right hand side, on the Bhadrasya Varsham, Bhadrashravas is worshipping there as the form of Haigriva Murti, which is Krishna's another incarnation, which appeared when the Vedas were stolen. So that is the worship going on there. So after describing all the 8 different varshas, who is worshipped by whom, by which mantra, eventually Vedavyas has taken, Sri Shivan has taken a little bit more time to explain the significance of Bharata Varsham. The significance of Bharata Varsham is specifically mentioned in the Bhagavatam and in elaborate detail. The reason for that is the Bharata Varsham, there who is worshipped? Naranarayana Hrishi is worshipped. In the Badrinath, you will find the deities are installed there as Narayan Narayana. Narayan Narayana is nobody else than Krishna and Arjuna. Krishna and Arjuna is worshipped in this place as Narayan Narayana. And who is the worshipper? Worshipper is Sri Narada Muni. Narada Muni worships him there. In other words, for all the people in this age, in Bharata Varsham, the worshipping, their greatest spiritual master, as much as in our tradition also, is Sri Narada Muni. Narada Muni's significance is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam in this particular time, specifically because not only he instructed Vedavyasa Maharshi Srimad Bhagavatam, not only he is in the many of Krishna's pastimes, he himself became realized after he received that mercy from Krishna. But in addition to that, it is Sri Narada Muni who worships Narayana form in Badrinath as he is worshipped by the, and he, everyone else in the Bharatavarsha will follow Sri Narada Muni in the worship of the Supreme Lord. So that is the position of Narada Muni in this form. It is not very difficult to understand this also, because you will notice that in all the paramparas, whether it is impersonalist or personalist, they all have a place for Sri Narada Muni in their tradition. They will keep Sri Narada Muni in their tradition somewhere. And in addition to that, we also see some instances that for quite some time, not in the current situation, everybody is people who have lost interest in the spiritual life to such a degree, but time, even not long ago, there were times when that Sri Narada Muni was worshipped by everyone. That was not unusual. It was a strong tradition. Tradition in the sense that generally, even in household life, many Brahmana families, when they have often at home, the women, they cooked different sweets and preparations to offer to Krishna. But they will make sure that that every week, at least once a day, and that they will prepare certain sweets and offer to Sri Narada Muni as well, as a part of the offering. And the mantra they chanted was, Sri Naradaya Paramagurave Nama, that he is our ultimate spiritual master. And many of the devotees who have actually surrendered and decided to worship Krishna in that form, they always took shelter of Sri Narada Muni. Avidam Narada Der Vilasalubani Shal Sundari Mandalaischaham. That when they saw Krishna, they did not see Krishna and Radharani alone. They saw Krishna and Radharani and Sri Narada Muni together along with them. This is how many of the great devotees who have actually seen Krishna in their devotional life, they saw that Sri Narada Muni was an integral part of Krishna's pastimes and also a part of Srimad Radharani's pastimes. So that is how you find all the Goswamis and so many other great personalities. They all gave a great position, a great great offering to Sri Narada Muni in their spiritual life. Now, coming back to Bharatavarsham, why is Bharatavarsham important? That is the question. Why Bharatavarsham is specifically mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam? The reason for that is that Bharatavarsham's role in this material world is very, very prominent from the spiritual side. That everything in the Bharatavarsham is considered to be spiritual for a reason that is the way Bharatavarsham is. Then it says in the Bhagavatam, if you mention any of the mountains, rivers, all of them are holy spots which have some relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is nothing in Bharatavarsham you can separate from Krishna and Krishna's pastimes. Right from Kashmir to Kanyakumari, from all sides if you look, that you will see that the Bharatavarsham's position is that it is in Bharatavarsham that the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared not only as the Supreme Lord, but even as his different incarnations. He appeared there. And that is what makes it significant. Now, why is it so significant? Because in the modern world, when we talk about religion, we think that religion is a process which has been established by some personality at some point in time. And that is how we see religion. And whatever instructions he has given, we accept it like that. That is how we see religious life in this modern world. There are so many different religions in this world, and there are so many millions and millions of followers also for these different religious processes. But in the Bharatavarsha, religion is a little different. Why is it different? Is because religion in Bharatavarsham is not instructions and following. Religion in Bharatavarsham is actually based on the understanding. It is the science of the soul. That is what it differs from other places. Nowhere else this science of the soul is discussed to such a degree. No other religious process gives you the understanding that we are spirit soul, and the spirit soul has a relationship with the Supreme Soul, and that relationship in the scientific form is discussed in Bhagavatam. All the Vedas, Upanishads, Puranas and all the Vedic literature talks about the science of the soul. It doesn't refer to moral instructions. It talks about the science of the soul. That is what it makes it significant. Varnashrama Dharma in Bharatavarsham was followed for thousands and thousands of years. And this Varnashrama Dharma supported and helped in cultivating spiritual life. That is the greatness of Varnashrama Dharma. This was followed in Bharatavarsham. All the Acharyas appeared to teach from time immemorial the science of self-realization, science of understanding our true identity, which is not covered by many other religious processes in this world. This is what differentiates the Vedic system from the other religious processes. The Vedic system is such that it does not force upon anybody to accept anything. But at the same time, it tells you, this is the science of the soul. This is what happens to the living entity. Which other religious process or which other science tells you that our pure identity is spirit soul? There is no other science in this world. And that science still exists in Bharatavarsham. And therefore, it is significant that the Bharatavarsha's responsibility in this material world, in this creation, is always stressed by the Acharyas as only one and one thing alone. That this knowledge of the soul, knowledge of the spiritual understanding of life, which doesn't exist anywhere else, apart from all the holy rivers. Even if you chant the name of the rivers, it's purifying. The names of the mountains is purifying. And also the Varnashrama Dharma. In addition to that, sacrifices to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Where else these sacrifices are performed? From time immemorial, these sacrifices is performed in Bharatavarsham. Because of all these things, because of the sacrifices which was performed, because of the appearance of the great personalities, to always propagate the science of the soul. That is what they came for. To take us out of this ignorant understanding that we are this body and we are to identify with the body and enjoy the body, gratify the body. From this concept to pull us out and to put us into the platform of spiritual life. This was the purpose of the appearance of these great souls. And that is, they are constantly appearing all the time. And when they appear, they always bring us to this point that as soon as you take birth in Bharatavarsham, that birth itself is only meant for this. And to explain that process, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you look, there are two statements Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made about this. And you will see there that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically says that the... that in two instances he has mentioned this, that one of them is very famous verses, that Bharata Bhumi Dehaila Manusha Janma Yara Janma Sarthaka Karigara Para Upagara. This is one of the verses which Srila Prabhupada always quoted, because by getting a birth there, one has got the good opportunity to understand the science of the soul. And when one understands the science of the soul, nothing can actually change the understanding of life, because no modern science or inventions will disturb a person's mind. He can see above than that the science of the soul is higher, or the understanding of the spiritual nature is important. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while instructing the devotees, he mentioned this one particular point, that as soon as one gets a body there, one has got this good opportunity and para-upadara to serve others with that knowledge what has been received from the Bharatavarsham. So that is the greatness of that land. And in addition to that, there are also mentioned, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says there, Bharata Bhumi Ve Janmi E Deha Vyartha Haila, that it should not be wasted in other things. And this is not only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the Acharyas also in the Vedic tradition, they repeatedly say this, and they illuminate this world from this understanding that it is not the religion we are talking about. We are talking about spiritual life. Religion is that thing which is instructions and followed by masses, and we took either to get a relief from the material distress, or with the intention of gratifying one's own senses. This is how the modern religions are satisfying the needs of the people. That when they are in distress, they will go to him looking for shelter. And when they are fighting each other, they won't discuss with him. But when the things get tough, and when it's difficult to escape from that, and they are in distress, then they are ready to go to him, asking for his help. So Srila Prabhupada used to explain this during the World War II. Apparently, after the Germany started losing the war, right in the moment of losing the war, they started experiencing that the men are going to get killed, and all the women were praying at that time for the protection of the men. But it is too late now that they didn't, Prabhupada says, they didn't consult Krishna before they started the war. But now it's too late to consult him at this point. So it is that kind of religious processes what we are seeing today in this world. And when they have no control or restriction, no understanding of their own identity, they don't even accept that they are spirit soul. And these are the people that are going to Krishna for protection, for escaping from their material distress. So naturally, that kind of religious process is not the religious process in the Vedic literature. Vedic literature's religious process is meant for, not only, it is to make us understand that we are born in ignorance, and from that ignorant condition, under the influence of Maya and the three modes of material nature, how much we are put into distress, and to escape from that, not only from that distress, to come back to our true identity as the spirit soul, how one should function in this world. That is the science of the soul, or what is mentioned, known as the spiritual life, or what Krishna has described in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this science is not available anywhere. Anyone who travels outside can immediately see the difference in the thinking. That people have understood religion in different ways. Somebody says something, somebody brings some philosophy, another one brings another philosophy. So much of mental speculation. But Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, that has survived through thousands and thousands of years, and it managed to keep this light glowing all the time, that we are spirit soul. Spirit soul and the relationship with Krishna as the spirit soul, as the supreme soul, has a reciprocal relationship. And that is spiritual life means. And that knowledge and all the Vedic literature, all the Puranas, all the Upanishads, all the Vedas, everything is only pointing out about this, nothing else. And even when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, comes here, he also don't change anything. He also follows these norms, this standard, that what is spiritual life. That is how Krishna discusses. Krishna is not saying, I am supreme, not so you listen to everything what I say to you. No, Krishna is also saying, taking us from this understanding, that we are spirit soul, and the spirit soul has a relationship with Krishna. And Krishna says, Manaivamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana mana shashtan indriyani prakriti stani garshani. That the living entity's nature is like that, Krishna says, that he is my part, he is nobody different than me, that he has a relationship with me. Mama evamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. He is also eternal, whereas what does the modern science tell us? Does it tell us that we are eternal? Does anybody know that we are eternal? Do they accept that? They haven't got a clue. They have no idea what we are. This is their position. And these are the people who are teaching us in big, big things in the big universities. This is so-called knowledge. Eh? That mama yuvamsho jiva loge. Krishna is saying here, jiva bhuta sanadana. That living entity is eternal. We are not temporary material elements mixed together. That is finished with this death. But living entity's life continue. So all this knowledge in relationship with the soul, exactly for this reason, that when Arjuna spoke to Krishna in the beginning, that Krishna got so annoyed with Arjuna, and he told him that you talk like a big scholar, but actually you do not even know what you are. And this is how Krishna really chastised him. So like this, you will always notice that the great acharyas and the sages in the Vedic tradition, they kept this lamp burning of the science of the soul. And that is what has come from Bharatavarsha, and that will never go. This is another thing Sudhir Goswami says there, that no matter how much Bharatavarsha tries to follow other technology and other thing, it doesn't matter, he said, in spite of all that, Bharatavarsham remain as the place where Srinarada Muni and all the great acharyas in that tradition will continue to enlighten this world through the science of the soul. And those who are aspiring for the science of spiritual life, they will come to Bharatavarsham for that knowledge. And this is the speciality of the Bharatavarsham. So with that explanation on the Bharatavarsham, those two different varshas, or in other words, what is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam as the what's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam as the different parts of Jambudvipam, that is covered with that. And then we move on to the next chapter. And in the next chapter, what is happening is that Parikshit Maharaj wanted to know about, apart from Jambudvipam. Earlier we have seen that Priyavrata, when he drove his chariot around, he has formed seven islands and seven seas. Jambudvipam, Plaksham, Shalmali, Kusham, Kraujam, Shagaram and Pushkaram. These are the different islands what he has formed, and different types of oceans which is surrounding them, namely the salt water and the sugarcane juice and the yogurt and ghee and milk and all these different kinds of oceans which exist around that. All that is described in the next chapter. But prior to going to that, we have something more to remember here. That when Parikshit Maharaj was wanted to know about these different expansion, different parts of this creation of the earthly planet, Sudeva Goswami repeatedly tells him that what you are seeing through your eyes is only the a very small part of the whole planet that existing. Just because it is all subtle, doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. It does exist, but it is not visible to our naked eyes. It is with this view that we move on to the next part, which is known as the Jambudvipam, which is known as the description of the other part of the earthly planet, which is the Plaksham, Shalmali, Kusham, Kranjam, Shagaram and Pushkaram. All those things are in the next chapter, and then I'll read that and then we'll go on further from there. Shri Shuka Vacham Adaparam Lakshadinam Pramana Lakshana Samsthanado Varsha Vibhaga Upavarnyade Jambu Dvivoyam Yaval Pramana Vistarastavada Charodhadina Pariveshido Yadha Melur Jambu Akhena Levanodhati Abitado Dvigana Vishalena Plaksha Akhena Parikshipto Yadha Parika Bahyu Bhavanina Plaksho Jambu Pramano Dviva Akhya Karo Hiranmaya Uttido Yatra Nirupaste Sapta Jihvastasya Adipadihi Priyam Radalmaya Idma Jihvaha Swam Divam Sapta Varshani Vibhajya Sapta Varshanamabhya Atma Shivam Yuvasam Subhadram Shandam Kshemam Amritam Abhayamidi Varshani Deshu Girayo Madhyascha Saptaiva Vijnadaha Manikudo Vajragudam Indraseno Jyotishman Suparno Hiranyashtivo Meghamala Iti Setu Shailaha Arunanamnangirasi Savitri Suprabhada Hridambara Satyambara Iti Mahanadhyaha Yasam Jalobaspashana Vidudara Vidudara Jastamaso Hamsapadam Gordhvayana Satyanga Samyas Chatwaro Varnaha Sahasrayusho Vyudo Brahma Spasandarshana Prajananaha Sargadvaram Traya Vidyayam Bhagavandam Traimayam Suryam Atmanam Yajande Pratnasya Vishnu Rubam Yal Satya Sartasya Brahmana Amradasya Jamrityoscha Suryam Atmanam Imahidi Prakshadisho Panjasu Purushayanam Ayurindriyam Ojama Sahobalam Buddhir Vikrama Indiya Sarvo Sarvesham Olpatigi Siddhira Visheshena Vartade Prakshasto Samano Nega Ikshura Sodina Vrdo Yatha Tada Dvibo Vishalmalo Dugana Vishala Samanina Suryodina Vrda Parivante Yatra Havai Shalmali Prakshayamayasi Amma Vagilandalaya Maho Bhagavadaschandastuda Padatre Rajasya Sa Dvibahudaye Ubalakshade Tadvibadibadi Priyam Vradalmajo Yatnya Bahu Susudebhya Saptabhyastam Namani Saptavarshani Vajalsuro Chanam Saumanasyam Ramanagam Devavarsham Parivadram Apyaya Namavijnanamidi Teshu Varsha Adrayo Adhyascha Saptaiva Abhijnada Swarasa Shadashrango Vamadeva Kandu Omukumba Pushpavarsha Sahasra Shudiridi Animadi Sinivali Saraswati Kuhu Rajani Nanda Rageri Tadvarsha Purusha Shudadara Viryadhara Vasundaresha Vasundareshandara Samya Bhagavandam Vedamayam Somamalpanam Vedena Yajande Sogo Vipita Deva Bhyo Vibhayan Krishna Shukrayo Prajanam Sarva Samrajanda Somo Namastvidi Evam Suroda Bhakistadvigana Samayana Avrudo Grathodhine Tha Purushadvibo Yasmin Kushastambo Deva Grathastadviva Khyagaro Jalan Vivapariha Sashashparo Jushadisho Virajedi Tadviva Vadihi Prayam Vrado Rajan Airanya Reda Namaswam Deepam Deepam Saptabhya Suputre Bhyo Yadha Vagam Vibhajya Swayam Tavam Adishtada Vasu Vasudana Dhanavitina Abhigupta Stutyam Vrata Vivittam Amadevanam वामदेवनामभ्यः तेषां वर्षेषु सीमगिरयो नद्यश्च विज्ञाताः सप्त सप्तैव चक्रश्चतुश्चङ्ग कपिलश्चित्रकूटो देवानीयम् ऊर्ध्वरोमो द्रविणमिति रसगुल्या मधुगुल्या मित्रविन्दा शुभविन्दा देवगर्भा घृणचुला मन्त्रमालेदि यासां तयोभि कुशद्विभौगसा कुशलगोविदाभियुक्तकलसंज्ञा भगवन्तं जातवेदस्वरूपिणम् जातवेदस्वरूपिणम् कर्मकौशलेन यजन्ते परस्य ब्रह्मण साक्षात् जातवेदोऽसि हविवाल् देवानां पुरुषाङ्गानां यज्ञेन पुरुषं यजेति तथा अग्रोदाल् बहिः क्रौञ्चदीवो द्विगुण समानेन क्षीरोदेन परिरो उपक्लृप्तो वृतो यथा कुशद्वीपो कृतोदेन यस्मिन् क्रौञ्चो नाम पर्वतराजो द्वीप नाम निवर्तकमास्ते योऽसौ गुह प्रहरणोन्मदिनिदम्बगुञ्जोऽपि क्षीरोदीनासि जुच्यमानो भगवतां वरुणेनाभिगुप्तो विभयो बभूवः तस्मिन् अभिप्रयव्रतो गृहपृष्टो नामाधिपति स्वे दीपे वर्षाणि सप्त विभज्यतेषु पुत्रनामसु सप्तरिद्धादान् वशवान्निवेश स्वयं भगवान् भगवत परमकल्याणेश स आत्मबोधस्य हरेः शरणारविन्दोपजगाम आमो मधुरुहो वेह पृष्ठसुधामा ब्राजिष्ठो लोहिदार्णो वनस्पतिर्विग्रह पृष्ठसुधास्तेषां वर्षगिरे सप्त सप्तैव नद्यश्चाभिज्ञातां शुक्लो वर्धमानो भोजेन उपवर्हिणो नन्दो नन्दन सर्वतो भद्रमिति मभया अमृतोघाम ऐरिगा तीर्थवती वृत्तिरुपवती पवित्रवती शुक्लैति यासामम्ब पवित्रमवनोपयुञ्जानां पुरुषकृषभद्रविणद्रैवक समम् ृषाम् आपोमयम् देवमभाम् पूर्णीनाम् देवमभाम् पूर्णेन अञ्जलिनाम् यजन्ति आपपुरुषवीर्यस्ताम् पुनन्दीर्भूभुवस्व तान् पुनिरामीवग्नि स्पृशमात्मनम् होमिति एवम् पुनस्तान् शीरोदाल्भिरुपवेशिता शागद्विभोरात्रिशम् लक्षयोजनयाम समानी यद्यति मण्डोदेन परिदो यस्मिन् शागो नाम महीरुहस्वक्षेत्र विपदेशगो विपदेशगो यस्य महासर्वगन्धस्थम् दीपमनुवासेति तस्याभिप्रयम् व्रतमेवाधिपतिर्नाम मेधादिवे सो विभज्य सप्त वर्षाणि पुत्रानामानि तेषु स्वात्मजान्धिवे जवमनो जवमानधूमानि चित्ररेभ मधुरेव विश्वधारसं यानि निधाप्य अधिपतीन् स्वयं भगवत्यनन्दमावेशितमधिस्तभोवनम् प्रविवेश एतेषां वर्षमर्यादा गिरेव नन्दिश्च सप्त सप्तैवमीशानाम् उदुशृङ्गो बलभद्र शतके सर सहस्रस्रोतो देवबालो महानसमिति अनघायुर्धा उभयस्पृष्टि अपर अर उभयस्पृष्टि अपराजिव पञ्चपदे सहस्रस्तुतिर्नि निजद्रुतिरिति तद्वर्षपूरुष कृतव्रत सत्यव्रत दानव्रत दानव्रतानुव्रत नामानो भगवन्तम् वायुवाल्मकम् प्राणायाम विधूर विधूरजस्तमस परमसमाधिनाम् यजन्ते अन्ध प्रवेश भूयानि योऽपि वर्त्यात्मगेगुलि अन्तर्याम् ईश्वर साक्षात् पादनो यद्वशे स्फुटम् एवमेव दिनिमण्डोदात्परद पुष्कर दीपोत्सवो द्विगुणायामम् समम् ददमुपकल्पित समानेन साधूदयेन समुद्रेण बहिरावृतो यस्मिन् बृहल् पुष्करम् जलनशिखामलम् कनकपत्रायुधायुधम् भगवत कमलासनस्याध्यासनम् परिकल्पितम् तद्वीपमध्ये मानसोत्तरम् नामेक एवाचीनपराचीनवर्षैर्मर्यादा जलोयुधम् योजने योजनोषायामो यत्र तु चतसृषु दिक्षुचत्वारि पुराणि लोकपालानामिन्द्रादीनां यदुवरिष्ठान् सूर्यदस्मैरं परिभ्रमण संवत्सरात्मकं चक्रं देवानाम् अहोरात्राभ्यां परिभ्रमति तद्वीवास्यादिति स्यात्पदिवति प्रयव्रतो विधिहोत्रो नामैवस्यात्मजो रमणकथाभिनामानो वर्षपति नियुज्य स स्वयं पूर्वजगल् भगवल् कर्मशीलमेवास्ते तद्वर्षवृषा भगवन्तं ब्रह्मरूपिणं सकर्मेण कर्मणा आराधयन्तीनं चोदाहरन्ति यत्तल्कर्मयम् लिङ्गम् ब्रह्मलिङ्गम् जनोत्सवे एकान्नम् अद्वयम् शान्तम् तस्मै भगवते नम इति ऋषिर्वाच तदपरस्ताल्लोकालोकनामाचलो लोकालोकयोरान्तराले परितम् उपक्षिप्तः यावन्मानसोत्तरम् एवारन्तरम् तावती भूमि काञ्चन्यन्या अनन्यदर्शलोपणम् लोपयस्याम् बहिः प्रदातो न कदञ्चित् पुनः प्रतिमलभ्यते तस्मात् सर्वसत्त्वपरिगृह परिकृतासीन् लोकालोकमिति समाख्यायते अनेनाचलेन लोकालोकस्य अन्तर्वर्तिना अवस्थाप्यते स लोकत्रयान्ते परिदमीश्वरेण विहितो यस्मात् सूर्यादीनां ध्रुवापवर्गाणां ज्योतिर्गणानां गृहस्थैर्वाचीनां स्त्रीलोकानां विधनूनां न कदाचित् प्राचीनां भयमुत्सहन्ते तावन् उदहन्नाय अनायामः एतां लोकविन्यासोमानलक्षण संस्थाप्य विचिन्तित कविभिः सः पञ्चाशल्कोटिगणितस्य भूगोलस्य तुरीयभागोऽयं लोकालोकाञ्चनः तदुपरिष्टाच्छ्वास्वात्मयोनि अनाखिल जगल् गुरुणा अधिनिवेशिताय द्विरगमदे कृषभ पुष्करचूडो वामनोपराजित इति सकलरोगस्थिति हेतुवा तेषां सोऽभिगुणीनां लोकपालानां च वीर्योपब्रह्मणाय भगवान् परममहापुरुषो महाविभूतिवतिरन्तर अन्तर्यात्म्यात्मनो विशुद्धत्वं धर्मज्ञान वैराग्य ऐश्वर्यादिष्टमहासिद्धिबलक्षणम् विश्वक्सेनादि सुभाषय प्रवरे परिवारितो जुवरायुधो उपशोभिदे निजभुजनन्दे सन्धारयमाणस्तस्मिन् गिरिवरे समन्दाल् सकललोकस्वस्थयमास्ते आकल्पमेवं मेषं गदयेषम् भगवान् अल्पयोगमाय विराजित विरचित वीथलोकयात्रा गोपीधायेन्द्यर्थ अतः यन्दर्विसस्तारम् Parts of the earthly planet which was beyond, exists beyond the Jambudvipam. All these are subtle and they are not visible to our eyes. We have to accept on the basis of the authority of Sudeva Goswami's words. Now, in the Jambudvipam, in the middle of Jambudvipam, we have got Ilavara Varsham. And in that Ilavara Varsham, right in the middle stands the Meru mountain, which is the tallest mountain existing in the Sumeru mountains, which is also a subtle thing. And on the top of that, and the distances and the height of these mountains are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. How much it goes to the top from Lavadvasham, how much it goes down from to the ground, further down to the deeper side. So these things, dimensions are given there. And you'll also notice there that the Meru mountain has got four peaks all around. That is known as the Meru Mandiram. Mandiram, Meru Mandiram, Subharsham and Kumudam. There are four peaks on the four sides of this Meru mountain. And on these four mountain peaks, there are four large trees standing there. And those trees are mentioned in the Bhagavatam as, one is a sweet mango tree on top of one mountain, and on the top of the other, there is a rose apple tree, and on the third one, there is a kadamba tree, and on the fourth one, there is a banyan tree. And these four trees, their dimensions, if you read, mentioned in the Bhagavatam, running into thousands and thousands of miles. And from these trees, the fruits fall. And when the fruits fall, the juice of these fruits flows like rivers. And when that fruits fall and the rivers flow from there, the sand which is on the sides of these rivers, they turns into gold. And it is using this Jambunadam, as it is mentioned, another name for the gold in the Shastra, comes from there. That the gold is created by this very flow of the juice which comes from these fruits. And there are such massive trees mentioned there. And on the top of this Meru mountain exists what is known as Brahmaloka, the planet of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma exists at the very top of it. It is situated there. And surrounding Lord Brahma's planet in eight different directions are those people, personalities who maintains the different directions and their planets. And there is one particular verse mentioned there, which are the planets of some of the major demigods like Varuna and others that exist there. And Prabhupada has mentioned that verse in the Bhagavatam, in his commentary also, that the this particular verse explains, it has been, actually the more detailed explanation of all this, Bhagavatam is very, very concise while discussing all these things. Vayu Puranam and Varaha Puranam, they are the two Puranas which goes in length to describe the structure of the universe in detail. So those who want to know more about it, how it is expressed, that they have to read Vayu Puranam and Varaha Puranam. But from one of the verses in the Varaha Puranam, one verse is quoted here, which talks about what is ultimately the different positions of the different demigods surrounding Lord Brahma's planet. That is also mentioned there. So like this, if you start looking into the structure of the universe through Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find a different picture than what we see through our telescope and through our observatories. Whatever they, of course they give us sometimes some partly picture from somewhere. They present it to us and we think that is, but they also know when they take the photograph that they haven't got a complete picture. They are aware of that. And they also know that this will keep them on the job also for a very, very long time. So that is what this project is all for. And in addition, Krishna's creation is so vast, none of these telescopes will be able to give you any idea about how big this creation is. And it is so massive, they will say that we have found out everything, and they will have to automatically change the theory every day. But there are so many things in the Shastra, when you start looking at it, you can see that modern research is very much in the early stages as far as this thing is concerned. And because the process of researching and obtaining information is so much faulty, that a lot of this information what's available, for example, when we come to this Jyotish Chakram, you will see there are some information mentioned there. And this knowledge was available to the sages at a time when none of these instruments were available. They were able to get the information. Well, how did they get that information? That question automatically comes. And today, after so many years of research and so many years of extensive study, they're also agreeing some of these things are correct. They're also agreeing with that. And strictly enough speaking, that strange enough to say that the relationship between the movement of the planets, particularly the nine planets, what is known as in Shastra as Navagrahas. Navagrahas means the nine planets which has a relationship of their movement and the destiny of the human life in this planet. They are interlinked. Now, this is not something very easy to give up, because if you study those who are fond of astrology and who have followed the Indian tradition of learning astrology, you will notice there that Sun planet, Moon planet, Mercury, Venus, Mars, and Jupiter, Saturn, and the two planets Rahu and Kedu, these were in the calculations, at least in the books we see 5,000 years ago. They were in the calculations, they were mentioned. How the movement of these planets has a relationship with the earthly planet and the living entities on this earth. No matter how much we try to reject all this in the name of mythology and in the name of anything else you like, at the end you have to come to the point that these sages who compiled this, they had a vision which is far higher than what we have today. And in the modern astrology, what is followed in the West also, to some degree is following the same knowledge. And strange enough, Shastra in the Sanskrit language, astrology is known as Hora Shastram. Hora Shastram is the word. You will see in the Bhagavatam also mentioned that when Gargamuni came to see Krishna, Gargamuni was invited because and asked by Nanda Maharaj to write Krishna's horoscope. That's right. So the Hora Shastram, as it was called then, has become in English horoscope later. So this is how it is. So to such an extent, every language, everything owes to Sanskrit for what they've got from them. And today still we tell them it is mythology. This is our unfortunate situation. So this horoscope has come from Hora Shastram. Hora Shastram is the science of astrology. And from there, they have derived. And so many subtle aspects of life, generally, in this world, we have sometime in life a good time, sometime in bad time also. A person who has lived for some time in this world knows these things. He knows that everything is not under his control. So, in some time he feels some happiness in life. It may be material happiness, but still, he's not experiencing the material distress to such a degree. Let's put it that way. So, he's feeling some relief at that time. Some other time, no matter what you do in this world, doesn't come right. Everything goes wrong. So, when these things happen, we can see that there is something which is beyond our understanding that's controlling all these factors. If everything was directly proportional to the work what you do, everyone should have been probably used to say everyone should have been very rich people in this world. But it doesn't happen like that. Somehow or the other we find that people execute their work no matter how intelligently they do it. The person who gives the result, that is Krishna behind. That they do not recognize it. That's another thing. But Bhagavad Gita clearly says that karma we perform, but karma bhalam is coming from Krishna. When Krishna approves that, one gets the result. That is how the forms of karma works in this world. So due to that, at different times in our own experience, we see that sometimes happiness comes in, sometimes distress also comes in. And after a while, one who has gone through this for some time, one can understand that there are some higher forces acting behind every the happiness and distress of all the living entities in this world. So generally, when we talk about the when we talk about the what we call as destiny or fate or whichever you like to name it, but the thing is this, that the astrologers or astrological science points out to certain things in this direction. It tells us that there is a relationship between the movement of these planets in the higher planetary systems, particularly when the Jambudvipam, if you look, and above the Jambudvipam, Meru Mountains comes up, and on the top, the movement of the sun planet is mentioned there. And that sun planet is accompanied by these other planets which I have listed before, namely the moon, the Saturn, Venus, Jupiter, Mars, and Rahu and Ketu, all these things. Now, when the planets are moving along with the, they all have their orbits already prescribed. They move in that. And how much time, the total wheel which the sun planet moves around, that is divided into 12 sections, which is known as the Rashis, 12 Rashis as is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. And the time taken by each of these planets to move around is also fixed. So for example, some planets move slower, some planets move much faster. But moon planet and others, take Mercury and all, takes a shorter time. Whereas Jupiter and particularly Saturn takes a very long time. And normally it considered as 30 months time is how much Saturn takes to complete the same route what the sun planet has moved one time. That is how much time. Whereas Jupiter takes 12 months time. It is based on this that in the astrology they have given the time these planets, depending on a person's time of birth and the date of birth, astrologers were able to calculate the effect of that person's life future on the based on the relationship between the movement of that sun planet and the movement of these different planets and what position they were. And these calculations are very extensive also. And that is how the science of astrological science was developed. But although astrology tells us all these things, when one experiences distress in this world, one wonders, is my planets wrong, gone in the wrong position? Is that why I am suffering now? Or is there something else that is causing this? Automatically this question will come. If you go to a doctor, he will tell you what is wrong with your body. He will tell you there's nothing wrong except that you have eaten the wrong food, or you have enjoyed your senses too much, you have exploited your body too much, you are paying the price for it. And he will have his explanation. So in other words, a physician will tell you one thing, what he thinks in relationship with the body, what's wrong with the body. If you go to an astrologer, he will tell you that none of that doing, he says nothing to do with that, he said. He will say the planets are responsible for this. Look at your horoscope. I can show you where things have gone wrong. And he will open up and he will tell you certain things. Now, if you look into the scriptures, scriptures will tell you it is my past karma that has followed me. That's what is why I'm suffering. Like devotee accepts like that, isn't it? All devotees think that I must have done something, Prabhu, in my last life, or I must have offended some Vaishnava, I must have done something to some devotee. That's why I'm suffering. So he takes it that way. Now somebody else, all these explanations are existing in the Vedic tradition. That you have got the doctor or physician telling you one thing, astrologer telling you another thing, Shastra telling you one thing. Now in addition to all that, you also got other things like if you go to a psychologist, he says to you, you're gone crazy because your mind is not in balance. There is something wrong with you. And he will give you another cause of your distress also. So where do we stand in middle of all these things? Automatically the question is there. This is where Srimad Bhagavatam is trying to tell us that all this has a relationship together. But what is that relationship ultimately keeps this whole world moving? And that is the law of karma. Karma is the overriding factor above all these things. It is karma that keeps these planets moving. Like the living entities in this world experience happiness and distress. Even the planets are put into that position, and their movement is controlled even by the law of karma. Unfortunately, the modern science do have no knowledge that what is actually keeping these planets in position. They give you all explanation, saying that it is the gravitational forces. If it is gravitational forces, what they say, but who was behind that gravitational forces? There is no answer. After that, that's finished there. Knowledge is over there. There is no more knowledge. This is the ultimate knowledge. Gravitational forces. Everything, oh, we have invented that. Let's take the credit to all that. There is no further explanation. Bhagavatam says there, and also all the other Upanishads literature also tells you, that you can see that from the creation itself, from the whole universe, the way it has been created is, karma is the only force that keeps everything moving. Both the moving and the non-moving thing to function in a proper way is the law of karma. That is why karma is such a powerful factor. Now, how does it relate with then the other things? What about the movement of the planets, movement, the instructions of the physician and also psychologist? How does it all fit in? That all falls into this karma. In other words, when the karma has taken a living entity in a particular direction, to accommodate that karma, all the other planets moves in that way that the effect is calculated, and you can see from there one gets an understanding that the karma is the cause of it, but the planets are giving you an indication of that impending disaster or happiness, whatever is likely to happen. Those who are learned in the science of astrology, they are not disturbed by the modern science. You can see those who have the knowledge and understanding of it properly, they know that what is waiting for a person in his whole life at the time of birth itself. They don't have to wait and see till the end of the life to discuss about what has happened in the future. They know from the beginning itself. That is the science of astrology. So like this, all these things in the creation, what we see, perceive from ourselves, from in the creation, has a spiritual significance in everything. But that is why Vedic literature, apart from the information on the science of the soul, it also even tell you, direct you on your life in this planet in the right direction. Particularly, Ayurveda tells you about the necessity of maintaining a lifestyle conducive for spiritual life. It tells you a lifestyle which will give you happiness, happy and satisfied in this world. But unfortunately, our modern world do not accept all these things. So we have difficulties. We have so much problems because of that. So anyway, coming back to the movement of the sun, that is the planet what the Bhagavatam is going to discuss in the next chapter. But prior to that, in the last chapter, what we have seen was Priyavrata's seven different sons who actually rule the different and the different parts of this earthly planet. In addition to Jambudvipam, like Lakshadvipam, Shalmali, Shagaram, Kranjam, Pushkaram, all these different sectors of the different islands which are ruled by Priyavrata's different sons, and what goes on there, this is what is mentioned in the last chapter. So like this, Srimad Bhagavatam is briefly telling us, and after this chapter, in the next few chapters, what's happening is that in two chapters it talks about the rotation of these planets and how much time it takes each planet to cover certain areas. Sri Shukrin has not gone into deep and into higher depth discussing all these things. He quickly is trying to go through all these things just to fill up the inquisitiveness of Parikshit Maharaj. He wanted to explain to him very briefly, and he moves on in that way. And in another chapter, he talks about the movement of the sun, And in another chapter, he talks about the how a person who is affected by the bad position of these planets, how he should worship these planets, these nine planets. And there is a special way of worshipping them. Even though today, the nine planets are worshipped in some places, in some temples, as Navagrahas, the nine planetary systems, because those who believe in astrology and those who want relief from the effect of these planets and the rays which emanates from them, which affects his life, there is a process of worship. In the demigods worship, that is also part of that. So that process of worship still exists. But in addition to that, what we find here in the Srimad Bhagavatam is that the system of worshipping the planetary system in a particular form to leave oneself on meditating on that form is explained in one chapter for a long period of time. And that explanation is given is also to show that the, for example, the eclipses, what we experience, the solar eclipse and the lunar eclipse, it mentions in the Bhagavad Gita very clearly what actually happens at that time. During the eclipse period, what we notice is that the light from the sun planet is not allowed to fall on the earthly planet, because two planets, which are the Rahu and Kedu, they come on the way and block the light which falls onto the earthly planet. And because these two planets have God personalities, all these planets are owned by certain personalities. They own those planets, and that is how they were given. And Rahu, and Sri Shukan says here to Parikshit Maharaj, I will talk about this Rahu and Kedu later on in the 8th canto when we talk about the churning of the milk ocean. At that time I will talk about it, how Rahu and Kedu has come into existence. It was one demon who was given two different bodies, and while the ocean was churned, the nectar came out from that. And while serving that nectar, on the one side demigods were seated, on the other side the demons were seated. And Mohini Murti, Krishna took the form of Mohini Devi, and the pot was handed over to her, and she was carrying the pot, walking up and down, to thinking where to start serving the nectar. So in that process, the demons and the demigods, they were fighting each other for the nectar. And she wanted to, Mohini Murti wanted to put the demons in the illusion, and in that process she succeeded doing that. But one of the demons, who are a little bit smarter than the others, he decided that I'll go and sit in the demigod's side of the feast. So he went and sat there. The result was that when Mohini Murti was serving the nectar to all of them, When it came to this Surbhanu, that is his name, Surbhanu was sitting there. Surbhanu was also given the nectar. And as soon as Surbhanu got it, what did he do? He took it and immediately started eating that. Normally, demigods don't eat as soon as the food is served like that. They have certain manners and etiquettes before they eat. So that is how they found out that he was not from them. Because as soon as he got it, he started licking it straight away in his hands. Whereas normally demigods and even the Brahmanas also, generally we sing Sharira Vidya Jal, at least we should sing Sharira Vidya Jal, or at least we should pay our obeisances to Krishna before we take prasadam, because Krishna has given us that prasadam to eat. So because of that while taking prasadam we follow this limited prayer to Krishna. That is a acknowledgement of Krishna's mercy. That is what we do. But demigods, demons do not have any such etiquette or manners. As soon as they get goes in. So he rushed into it. Surbhanu took this nectar and put it in. Immediately on either side, the sun and the moon were sitting there, the personalities. They pointed out to Mohini Murti, this is one from them. He is not from one of us, he said. Mohini Murti could not wait anymore. The spoon, yes. The spoon he was serving the nectar, she was serving the nectar, cut his throat there. So Banu was cut. But Krishna felt a little bit compassion for him, seeing his condition. That he has got, the nectar is gone, it has already gone into the throat, almost halfway through. So it has come into two pieces. And the head became Rahu and the body became Ketu. And these two planets, they were given special position by Krishna and told them, alright, you are Pavagraham. That means you can have sinful effect on the people. But because you see, you will see at the time of eclipses, normally no food is cooked, or we don't perform any auspicious activities. It's not performed, it's not acceptable. For this reason only, that the rays from the sun which goes through to the Rahu planet or Kedu planet, it pollutes the food in this planet. And that is the reason why food is not, we are not allowed to eat the food. Or normally the system is that one should bathe after the eclipses and then cook food and then offer it and then eat it to pure. Otherwise the tamogunam, what comes from Rahu and Kedu, can affect a person's life. So because of this reason, Surbhanu was given these two planetary positions as Rahu and Kedu. But at the same time, there was some mercy Krishna has given to him. In astrological calculations, if you ask an astrologer, he will tell you that in certain positions, if Rahu, actually all these planets are interacting each other. This is a very interesting science also. Those who are interested in that line, they will find it interesting. But only thing is, to study this takes a lifetime. That's the only problem. So if you find that this Rahu planet and Ketu planet, if that has in certain positions, he will do such good things also in life. That is something Krishna has given some as a concession to him, because Krishna has cut his throat. So as a, okay, you can have this, at least you take this and get out from here. And told, so Bhanu was satisfied and Rahu and Ketu came in. Now Rahu and Ketu doesn't come in the calculation in the modern astrology. They have also some understanding of their eclipses and all that, trying to explain. We accept that, oh, this is the real truth has been given to us. Now we follow this. We reject all these things. But it is not so simple. You can't reject the Vedic literature so simple and say that everything is mythology, or I can't see it, everything. No, there is behind that, there is a science as well. The only thing, we don't understand that science and we haven't got the patience to learn that. So therefore, all these difficulties come in. But apart from that, in the next two chapters, that is what is describing the Jyotish Chakra, the movement of the sun in the creation, and movement of the sun and all these other different planets, what controls them in their movement. And these times mentioned for the, it's like, for example, 30 months for Saturn, 12 months for Jupiter, and 24 months for Rahu and Ketu, to take the same amount of distance to cover by the sun planet, and for a shorter time for the moon and others. These are all very detailed in the calculations of the astrological astrologers. So that is how the next two chapters goes. And after that, then we have three chapters more in this, which we will come back to on next Sunday. So I'll read through that in the next Sunday. So if there's any questions or comments, please.
I said in the Kapil Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu says about Bharadvarsha.
Yeah.
And he mentioned also something, Sukadeva Goswami also says about Bharadvarsha.
Sukadeva Goswami in the Srimad Bhagavatam, what he is refers to in the Bharadvarsham is actually saying that the Bharadvarsham, the people in Bharadvarsha will worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan Narayana, in the form of, through Sri Narada Muni. Narada Muni is their Acharya. Through Sri Narada Muni, they will worship the Supreme Lord in Bharadvarsham. That is one statement. Secondly, the Sudeva Goswami has mentioned in the Bhagavatam the importance of Bharadvarsham, which was explained before, that the science of the soul and our real identity as the spirit soul and its transmigration of the soul, this knowledge is only in the Vedic tradition. It doesn't exist elsewhere. No, there is no reference of this in other processes. That is why it differentiates from other processes. But of course, Sudeva Goswami don't talk about any other religious processes. He is only saying that in Bharadvarsham, this knowledge will predominate in all the Acharya's teachings. And all the Acharya's who follow in the Vedic tradition will always highlight this aspect of the movement of the soul and transmigration of the soul. That is how the Bharadvarsha importance is mentioned.
And as you said, we should improve on the eclipse day. So what do we have to do? Fast or
yes.
Cook in the morning?
Yes. One should be eating before the eclipse hours, yes, before eclipse begins, at least a few hours before that. And during the eclipse hours, normally one is supposed to chant the holy name for protection, because the rays from these different planets, particularly Rahu and Ketu, they have a devastating effect on the human life in many ways. And therefore, the instruction is that when the eclipse time, one do not eat food cooked at that time, or rather one should chant the holy name, and after the eclipse one should bathe and then cook the food and eat. So this has come from that, actually, the effect of Rahu and Ketu.
Still, because of Washerman's words, how can he give up Sita? Because she's not helpful.
Yeah. Yes. Actually, Ravana didn't abduct Sita. Ravana has got was only Maya Sita. Sita Devi cannot be touched by Ravana. But still, Ramachandra's adherence to religious principle, that's in other words, Ramachandra felt that in my kingdom, if somebody is talking about me in this way, that means he is calling me as though I have attachment to women to that extent, that I am not fit for the role, fit to rule this plan, this country. And therefore, in other words, Sri Shukan says here that if one becomes too much concerned about the moral side of life, if one morality is necessary in life to some degree, but morality alone is not the ultimate goal. That is what the point he is trying to make. That that if you stick with morality alone, sometimes you may forget the higher goals than that. Morality is a means to achieve the higher goal. But simply following morality, just like we say in Krishna Consciousness Movement, that simply following regulative principles alone is not good enough. That regulative principles are a means to control our life in such a way that one do not engage in sinful life. That is what the purpose of regulative principles. But if somebody thinks that, oh, I am following all the four regulative principles 100% and I am perfect, no, it doesn't. It doesn't help. That's not good enough. The ultimate goal of Krishna consciousness is to develop attachment to Krishna. So if these four regulative principles are not helping to attach, to develop that attachment or the love for Krishna, as Prabhupada calls it, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, as the prema bhakti, that attachment is not developing in the heart, then what's the use of these four regulative principles at the end? You may have followed all four regulative principles throughout your life very strictly, but at the end of the life, if you have not got what you want from Krishna, or in other words, the Krishna consciousness is not built up in the heart, then that four regulative principles also following them hasn't helped very much. Except that probably you may not have fallen into sinful life and sinful reactions. But similarly, in the morals and moral values in this world also is only to that degree to help one person that one should live in moral life. That's necessary. But at the same time, morality itself is not the end of spiritual life. And that is what Krishna says later on. That is why Krishna says there was no morals. Krishna's morals are completely different than Ramchandra's morals were. So but still, Ramchandra's life, we have to learn this. But this doesn't affect Lord Ramchandra, but in that particular appearance, Krishna has shown certain things to us. And Suraya Goswami is saying, this is what that Ramchandra's appearance has taught the human society.
You mentioned that all material existence has a subtle nature.
Yes.
How do we view the subtle nature?
Subtle nature, we have to only understand from the Shastra. For example, Himalaya mountains. We know Himalaya mountain is a person. If you read throughout the Sanskrit literature, you will find Himalaya has personified form exist. Himalaya has two surubam, two forms, Devadalmagam and the gross form. Devadalmagam is the personified form of Himalayas which exist. Ganges, Ganga Devi, all the acharyas glorify Ganges. And Ganges' arrival is mentioned in this one chapter, how Ganges arrived here. So her personal form is there, Yamuna Devi, her personal form is there. All mountains, all rivers, everything has a person behind it, a subtle form that exists. It is their gross manifestation in the earthly planet, that what we perceive through our senses. And how do we understand that? We can only understand from the Shastra, because there is another way of knowing them, that is by personally worshipping them. Acharya Swamiji wrote so many prayers on Ganges, Ganga Devi, and some of these acharyas were so powerful, they were able to invoke these demigods by their potency, by their power of worship, that Ganga Devi appeared for him in many instances. And this is was only possible because they had a complete understanding of it. Whereas we in our gross form, why Yamuna Devi is worshipped so much? In Krishna's pastime, Yamuna River has partaken such a major role, Krishna decided to give her something in return. What was that? The answer was, Sri Shukan says in the Bhagavatam, that Yamuna River is purifies person because Supreme Personality of Godhead performed the pastimes on the banks of River Yamuna. And when Kaliya was expelled from that river, Krishna gave this benediction that future, let people, when they have the poisonous effect in their body, let them bathe in you. But we have polluted with so many other things, Yamuna, so we can't say anything about it now. But in reality, it's Krishna's a special benediction to Yamuna River at that time. And also, in the Bhagavatam, you will see something else, that when Vasudeva Maharaj was taking Krishna from the prison to Nanda Maharaj's home, when he arrived there on the banks of Yamuna River, it was the time the rainy season was going on, and due to the heavy rains and also to the melting of the snow and all that, the water level has grown so high in Yamuna River. And when Vasudeva arrived there with Krishna in the hand, it was middle of the night. There was no lights at all. Only Adishesha Bhagavan was holding the hood in top of his head, on Vasudeva Maharaj's head. And the jewels, what were shining from the head of Adishesha Bhagavan, that was giving the light for Vasudeva to walk through. But when he got there, he was in fear. How am I going to cross this river? At that time, Sri Shukan says there, Margam dadau sindhuriva shriyapadem, that exactly like when Lord Ramchandra wanted to cross the ocean to Sri Lanka, what did happen? That Sindhu ocean got frightened because Ramchandra got so annoyed that he not letting me through. That immediately the ocean came personally and surrendered to Lord Ramchandra and let him through. Exactly the same way here, Sri Shukan says there in the Bhagavatam, just like the ocean gave way to Ramchandra to cross to Lanka, exactly like Yamuna Nadi came up here and folded hands and said to Krishna and moved on both sides. And that is how Vasudeva Maharaj was able to walk through the river. Otherwise he couldn't have crossed the Yamuna River at that time. It was impossible. And it says here, Margam dadau sindhu riva shriyapadem, exactly like Sindhu was given ocean, where the way to Ramachandra, Kalindi River gave way to Krishna, Vasudeva also. So they all can interact with each other. But we, in our situation, are not able to understand this, or even difficult to understand except this, that they have a personal side behind all this. And therefore there are temples for Ganges, temples for Yamuna Devi. If you go to Ganges, you will find there are so many places, Ganga Devi herself worshipped there. And her own position is like that. That is why Bharatavarsham becomes so prominent. Everything in Bharatavarsham has some relationship with the spiritual life. It is not belonging to the material world. Yes. Yes. What it means is that this force, this law of karma, is such a powerful thing that Sarbhanu, like Rahu and Kedu, even the planets like Jupiter, Saturn, and everything, they are all personalities. And these personalities were offered these positions by Krishna in the creation and sometime. But that was given to them depending on their karma. That is what has caused them to take that position. In other words, all the planets what we find, even the higher planetary systems who have this special position offered to them, is also controlled by karma. In other words, if you take Krishna away from this planet, the next highest powerful thing in this world is karma. That is what controls everybody. No one can escape from that. Everyone is subjected to the laws of karma. That is what the message in the Bhagavatam is.
Krishna and Lord Rama are also subjected to karma. Is it right, or they acted like that?
No, Krishna or Rama, they are not subjected to karma. But yes, when they are here, in some instances, they also acted in such a way that the law of karma is not broken away. But we used to quote this, these instances, we mentioned this before, that that we find that the washerman who has abused Ramachandra, he had to come back again here. And Ramachandra didn't punish him at that time for talking against him without knowing anything. So that's why it says that if you want to criticize somebody, you should know all the whole story. If you hear some part of it and start criticizing, you cannot make a proper judgment. So what the washerman did at that time was the wrong thing, to talk about Ramachandra not knowing what has happened in the forest. So, Ramachandra could have punished him at that time, but he didn't do anything. He rather thought that I will take up this matter later on, when I come next time. This is why that washerman could not escape. He has to come back again to be killed by Krishna later on. And it is the same washerman when Krishna went to see Kamsa. Later on you find in the Bhagavatam that Krishna went to see Kamsa, he met the same washerman on the way. And he asked the washerman to distribute the clothes. And the washerman said, no, no, why should I give you these clothes? This is meant for the king, Kamsa. This, that and the other. He started saying that. But the when he started saying that, Krishna said that that's it. Now I have to sort it out, and he finished the business there. So you can see that the karma, although Krishna is not bound by karma, the law of karma has not changed. That you abuse the Supreme Lord, you have to die like this sometime in his own hands. But the good thing was he went back to spiritual world. That's Krishna's mercy. So that's also there. But in reality, everything in like that, in the material world, that law of karma is a powerful thing. No one can say that it doesn't exist. It does exist. And every one of us, no matter who it is controlled by that law to complete extent, 100%. And therefore, we will always say that the Vedic philosophy is based on this one principle of the law of karma. Karma and the appearance, the rebirth or punarjanam, as it's referred to, has an important role in the Vedic philosophy, which is, doesn't come in the other philosophies so easily. They do not accept that, they think that we are all perfect souls and perfect living beings, we can do anything we want and get away with it. So, that's the difference.
Yeah, everything is, I understand there is a law of karma, but when something goes wrong, we, astrologically, we actually pray demigods, like Guru, or then we try to actually improve our like pastime or whatever.
Yeah.
So how it works? Like,
actually, when things go wrong, going to find a solution is not the best thing. Before things go wrong, if you do the things right, then it is better. Because what happens is normally, among the people also, most of us, we do the same thing, that only when we become totally helpless, we start chanting Hare Krishna. Up to that point, we won't touch the beast bag. We leave it there. We have so much other business to do in this world. So it's the same thing, that when things are not going right, then we will look for every god available in this world. Demigods or full god or half god, everybody. We need everyone's help at that time. This is the human psychology. So Shastra says that there is a way of life we should live in this world. If you follow that properly, material distress won't touch you. But we don't live that life. That's why material distress is coming to us. And of course the law of karma will follow. Wherever we go, no can't escape from that. But the distress that comes from that, the sinful reactions, may not affect a person as much as it affects an ordinary person, like one who has taken shelter of Krishna. So, ideal solution is not to get to that situation. Prior to that happening, one takes Krishna shelter and strictly follow that and leave that to Krishna. Even if some sinful reactions do come, it will be protected by Krishna's arrangement. But not that when the cyclone has hit you, you go looking for the shelter. That's a bit too late, because often you may not identify what has actually caused it. Because you do need astrologers who can find out precisely. You need that expertise to tell you that. Even if they find it out, to retrieve from that, there may not be enough time to save yourself from the disaster. So there are things in the astrology which are interesting for those who wants to know that. But for a devotee, Prabhupada used to say, all this is unnecessary. Prabhupada's point was that if you take to Krishna consciousness, you can ignore. Prabhupada's spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he was a great astrologer. He had new complete astrological science to a large degree. And in spite of that, he didn't show much of an interest in that. He didn't think that astrology has also its own limitation. After all, what's astrology? Astrology is only telling you your life in this world and how it's going to develop and what the influence of these different planets are, which is following the sun in the higher planetary system, in the Jyotish Chakra. So their influence, that's all it's telling you. It's not telling you about going back to the spiritual world. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati rejected that on that point, that although he knew the science well, he did not endeavor to distribute that to anybody or encourage anyone to take to it. Even Srila Prabhupada also mentioned in many instances that if you follow Krishna conscious principle strictly and you chant the holy name of Krishna and develop Krishna consciousness, Eventually, it will save you even from material distresses. After all, every distress in this material world also is temporary. Nothing is permanent. Like happiness is not permanent, distress is also not permanent. So similarly, that distress, what can come to you, it may come and go away without disturbing your mind too much. So that's the benefit. Sometimes Krishna gives you punishment for some things what you have done, very silly things. And that punishment will come from Krishna. But the same punishment can happen in a dream and it may not disturb you to the degree as it would have happened in the gross body. So that is why the dream is given. Dream is given to punish somebody who has performed gross sinful life but at the same time has taken Krishna shelter. It's in fact dream state of existence. It's a part of spiritual life. That's why when they discuss dream life, they'll talk these three things, Jagra, Swapnam and Sushupti. Swapnam state is important. Why? Because sometimes when you experience some distress in the Swapnam state, you have to consider that it is Krishna's special mercy that he has given you a light punishment in the dream and got you away with a heavy punishment which you could have otherwise experienced in the gross body.
Oh,
the message is there everywhere. It is in all the books. It's there. We are not taking it because we don't have the faith in it. That's the problem. That majority of the people, when they think, when you tell them about karma, they ridicule you. They think that you are trying to, the modern world calls us because of this. They believe in fate, isn't it? So, not pessimism. Another word. Not defeatist. There's another word that often referred to us because you are always in believe in your fate. Everything is your fate. They say like this and radically. And we out of our pride things that that's not true. You know, we also have something to contribute to this world. No, actually, the law of karma is much more stringent and much stronger than anything else in this world. And Krishna is saying here, in the Sri Shukani is saying also in the Bhagavadam, that even the higher planetary systems, even they, sun planet is also moving according to the karma. In fact, who is present there in the sun planet? Krishna himself is present there in Surya Narayana form. And that he, also Krishna has given a certain karma of path to follow. That is when the Brahma Samhita says here, Ya Chakshura Eva Savida Sagala Grahanam Raja Samasta Suramurti Ashesha Dejaha Yes, Yajneya Brahmana Sambhuta Kala Chakram Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bajami. That even they are following under the rules of Krishna's arrangement. No one has any freedom to think that they are independent. We don't accept it. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. We may not accept so many things because we are ignorance. What do we do? Our ignorance is that reason behind it. It's not that. That is why, because karma has such a powerful impact on our life, Shastras often say like this, that don't waste too much time in your advancing your material life. Why? Because according to your karma, you will get something, some happiness. And one who has lived for a little longer in this world knows that. I mean, personal experience will teach you that happiness and distress will come and go. And many instances, it's not directly proportional to the effort you have put in. And otherwise, why? Karma asks the same question. Why somebody gets a birth in a rich family? Why someone gets birth in a poor family? Why someone is provided all material opulences right at the time of birth? Why someone who has toiled all along his life is not given enough money to buy his 2 meals a day? He's not getting it. Why is that? Why somebody is born in a male body? Why someone is born in a female body? Why someone is strong and why somebody is weak? Why someone is beautiful? Why someone is ugly? So many questions come from all these things. And then on a higher understanding you can see that there is higher laws behind it. And these higher laws do work. But we don't think like that. We are not trained our mind to think like that. We are thinking all the time that it's everything is what I do in this world. That is the result. It doesn't work like that, unfortunately. No, go on.
You just mentioned about the karmic reaction or the punishment is dished out in the form of dreams.
Yes.
Presumably, the rewards are also...
Sorry?
The rewards
Rewards, yes. Also, yes, yes.
Also, perhaps, even
yes, yes, yes.
And is there any way in the Bhagavatam where describing the interpretation of dreams in the spiritual?
No. It's not there. The reason for that is that Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us something little higher than all that. This is the living soul, the living entity. When it's going through three different phases, Jagrat, Sopnam and Sushupti, it experiences different things. And what Srimad Bhagavatam says is that from the Acharyas we hear that these experiences, what you are experiencing in these different states, has its own significance. And it's only the significance that is mentioned there. That significance is this, that what you are experiencing in the gross body, you can experience it in the dream body as well. In the dream body you can experience exactly the same thing, and you can feel also exactly the same pleasure and distress in the dream body also. Only thing is, your gross body is not subjected to it, but your dream body, in your subtle body, you have to go through that. So, which is equally a strong punishment. Sometimes, everybody knows that, I know, that in dreams sometimes you get such heavy dreams that when you wake up, oh, what a relief. You come out of it like that. I don't know about you. I have gone through this. That much I know. But I wish I haven't had that dream. And why is that happening? Because in that state of dream, Krishna has somehow given you something to make you realize that you, the living part of me, has to bear that, because you have done something very badly, but I have taken care now. That's what it means. That's why they say, when you wake up from such a dream, you should chant Hare Krishna immediately. Sit up and chant Hare Krishna till your mind get a bit under peaceful state. All these are very, very subtle things in spiritual life. All these are some relationships also. You can't ignore that. Yeah. Okay, all glory Srila Prabhupada.